if you have a moment, we'd love to have you out there. Thank you all for giving me this day. Have a good one, and we'll be talking to you soon. Stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show, which is coming up after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Karen Riegel. Cars trying to make their way through deep water in Findlay, Ohio. Hundreds of people have been evacuated in the northeast part of the state. They're experiencing the worst flooding they've seen in 100 years. The governor has declared a state of emergency. And now the water is up to their waist. This Findlay firefighter says some people are finally admitting it's time to go.
Some are saying no. They want to stay with their homes. I understand that. And some are ready to leave. They've been there, and they said now they're ready to leave.
The flooding is awful in parts of Minnesota, too, where as many as 4,200 homes have been soaked.
A day after making it sound like he lacked confidence in Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, President Bush.
Chris Ide is the director of Minnesota State Emergency Management. 22 deaths are blamed on the storm. Senator Hillary Clinton says it's time to make a change in Iraq's leadership, but President Bush says he is standing by Iraq's prime minister. Correspondent Mark Noller has that.
A day after making it sound like he lacked confidence in Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, President Bush took a stab at damage control.
Prime Minister Maliki's a good guy, good man, with a difficult job, and I support him.
As for those in Congress calling for al-Maliki's ouster, Mr. Bush told the veterans of foreign wars that it's not up to politicians in Washington to decide if al-Maliki keeps his job. But the White House wants al-Maliki's government to act more quickly to bring about reconciliation in Iraq. Mark Noller, CBS News, Kansas City.
According to a new study, it turns out Grandma does more than bake cookies. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato explains.
Hey, you can have a boyfriend without having to go all the way. You cannot.
Turns out Blanche on the Golden Girls isn't the only sassy senior. In a large landmark survey, University of Chicago researcher Stacy Tesler-Lindau finds most adults between 57 and 75 are sexually active, and the majority of them have sex 2-3 or more times a month. Older men have more sex than women.
Men, if they lose their partner, have a better chance than women of initiating a new relationship.
This New England Journal of Medicine study finds seniors in the best health were nearly twice as likely to be sexually active. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The mortgage crisis has led to more than 40,000 people losing their jobs since the first of the year. 25,000 of those jobs have vanished in just the last few weeks. The bloodletting isn't over, says John Challenger with the outplacement firm of Challenger, Gray & Christmas.
Realtors, realty companies, home construction companies, residential developers, and home retail all could be affected by these changes.
The Dow closed up 145 points, ending at 13,236. The Nasdaq closed up 31.5 points at 2,552. Oil was down 31 points at the close today. It'll cost you $69.26 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-40-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO-NOW. Call now.
Virginia Tech's own look at the massacre at that school in April says more should be done to head off trouble from disturbed students. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula has that story.
Reports from Virginia Tech's internal review of the April 16th shootings urged the school to do a better job of tracking troubled students, as well as offering new security ideas.
They reconfirm the ability of this institution to examine itself to learn and to evolve over time.
Virginia Tech President Charles Steger says it's simply not feasible for a campus the size of a small city to be locked down, as some critics have said should have been done after the initial shootings.
Senior citizens in Putnam County, New York, say they're old enough to know what they should and should not eat. And if they want a donut, they'll gosh darn have a donut. Officials in Putnam County were putting the kibosh on a plan to serve free day-old donuts at the area's senior citizens. They cited health reasons. But the old folks rose up, came up with a petition, and got what they wanted. Karen Riegel, CBS News.
Erectile dysfunction isn't something you want to sing about, but you should talk to your doctor about it. I did, and so have millions of others. In fact, Viagra, also called Sildenafil Citrate, has already helped over 17 million men with ED. Ask your doctor if Viagra's right for you. America's most prescribed ED treatment. More satisfying sexual experiences with my partner. Now that's worth singing about.
Viva Viagra!
Ask your doctor if your heart is healthy enough for sex. Don't take Viagra if you take nitrates for chest pain, as it may cause an unsafe drop in blood pressure. Side effects may include headache, flushing, upset stomach, and abnormal vision. To avoid long-term injuries, stop taking Viagra and call your doctor right away if you experience a sudden decrease in vision or an erection lasting longer than 4 hours. Always remember to protect yourself and your partner against STDs.
To learn more, see our ad in Golf Magazine. Call 1-888-4-VIAGRA or visit Viagra.com today.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, beaming to you from sunny San Francisco. It's a beautiful summer day here. We've got a lot to talk about. We've set aside 3 hours to work on it. And you're invited to participate in this conversation whenever you are moved to do so. We pay for the call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. And when you call, that makes it an interactive radio talk show. You get it? You can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. I love to get your comments, critical included, about what we do on this program, the views I offer, and the extent to which you might take exception. Feel free to dialogue with me by email, Peter, at peterbcollins.com, or fullofit at peterbcollins.com. Shout out to our new listeners in Billings, Laurel, Montana, listening to Big Sky Radio on 1490 AM. Great to have you on board here with the PBC show. And we're still waiting for our first caller to pick up the phone from Montana and give us a call from the Billings, Laurel area. The number is toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, same as for everybody else. But if you call in from there, I've got a nice little prize for you to welcome you to our program. We've lined up some great people, including three fine journalists, to join us on the program today. Robert Scheer will be with us in about half an hour. He's been writing about American politics for 35, 40 years. He's a professor of journalism at the University of Southern California. And he got fired by the L.A. Times a year and a half ago and took the money, or at least the momentum, and started up his own website, truthdig.com. Bob Scheer will be with us in about half an hour. We'll talk about his most recent column and some other things going on with him. Next hour, another great journalist named Robert, Bob Perry, will join us from ConsortiumNews.com. He's got a couple of pieces up there, and we're going to spend an hour with Bob Perry. One of them's called If the Democrats Want to Lose, and he reflects on some of the recent moves that Democrats seem to be accepting, the spin coming out of the White House and other Republican quarters. But things are getting better in Iraq, and I think that is a heavily managed piece of propaganda. We'll talk about that with Bob Perry coming up. And an interesting aside, I scheduled Robert Perry on the program a couple of days ago, and then earlier today, separately from Bob Perry, I got an email with an interesting commentary from Brent Budowski. He used to serve as a congressional aide on Capitol Hill. He's been on our show many times, an interesting voice. And as it turns out, Brent's commentary about the Democrats and why they're wrong on Iraq and the new rosy news coming out of there is posted on Robert Perry's ConsortiumNews.com today. It is a small world. And so that's just an interesting little connection. We'll throw open the phone lines in our third hour to hear from you in the free speech zone. And I think we're up to speed and ready to go. Our first guest is not available right now. We're trying to track down Louis Z. Cook, K-O-C-H. Lou Cook is a veteran journalist, newsman from Chicago, a co-founder of the Chicago Journalism Review. And for FireDogLake.com, he covered the trial and conviction of Jose Padilla in Miami over the last couple of months. And it is stunning. Still, I am just amazed that they were able to pull this off, because as Lou Cook reported to us along the way in this trial, the evidence is so flimsy as to be almost laughable. And when you consider the treatment that American citizen Padilla received after being snatched at O'Hare Airport, convicted in a news conference by John Ashcroft, then the Attorney General, who held that news conference in Moscow for whatever reason, it's just stunning. And many commentators believe that the Padilla conviction will be overturned on appeal. But for the moment, the Bush administration has a notch in its belt. Or does it? As David Korn writes at TheNation.com today, this kind of establishes that they didn't need military tribunals, that they didn't need to stash Jose Padilla at the Navy brig in Charleston, leave him in isolation and darkness, completely out of touch, for over 3 years, in order to win a political trial, monkey trial kind of conviction. And Lou Cook's final post at FireDogLake.com about the Padilla trial is an eye-opener. He says, looking back, there was a part of the trial I missed and thus couldn't share with you or comment on. It happened before the trial itself actually started. I think if I'd been as aware of it then as I am now, I would have forecast a much gloomier conclusion. The issue centered around the question of Padilla, whether he was psychologically able to help his attorneys in his defense, whether he was mentally competent. And Cook cites Miami Herald reporter Fred Grimm, describing the detention of Padilla, and in particular, the one instance that most of us know about, the time that Padilla was taken for a dental examination. Have you seen that picture? Well, here's a description from Fred Grimm, January 18th in the Miami Herald of this year. The accused, Padilla, was held in extreme isolation for 1,307 days, held in a 9-by-7-foot cell, the only window blacked out. He was the lone prisoner on the two-tier block. He was given food through a slot in the door. He slept on a steel mattress. No reading material, no calendar, no clock. Nothing to connect him to the outside world. But it was the short trip down the hallway for a dental exam that captured the utter isolation and sensory deprivation inflicted on Jose Padilla during his 3.5 years in the Navy brig at Charleston. Helmeted guards, their faces obscured behind dark plastic visors, manacled his hands and feet through slots in his cell door. They covered his ears with sound-canceling headphones, covered his eyes with blacked-out goggles. Padilla, mind you, has been described by his jailers as docile as a piece of furniture. At that point, after months of a dehumanizing interrogation regime, any useful information had long been squeezed from him. And the second citation that Lou Cook makes in this final post about the Padilla trial at FireDogLake.com quotes Dr. Angela Hegarty, Director of Forensic Psychiatry at the Creedmoor Psychiatric Center in Queens, New York, Assistant Professor of Clinical Psychiatry at Columbia University, and she examined Jose Padilla for a total of 22 hours. The very day that the Padilla verdict came in, Amy Goodman on Democracy Now! And her co-host Juan Gonzalez interviewed Dr. Hegarty. Here are a couple of stunning quotes from her interview with Amy Goodman. Padilla had developed really a tremendous identification with the goals and interests of the government, I really considered a diagnosis of Stockholm Syndrome. For example, at one point in the proceedings, his attorneys had, you know, done well at cross-examining an FBI agent, and instead of feeling happy about it like all the other defendants I've seen over the years, Padilla was actually very angry with them. He was angry that the civil proceedings were unfair to the commander-in-chief. That's a quote. And in fact, one of the things that happened that disturbed me particularly was when he saw his mother. He wanted her to contact President Bush to help him out of his dilemma. He expected that the government might help him if he was good. The second thing was his absolute state of terror, terror alternating with numbness. It was as though the interrogators were in the room with us. He was like a trauma victim who knew that they were going to be sent back to the person who hurt them, and he would subsequently pay a price if he revealed what happened. In this very small cell, he was monitored 24 hours a day. The doors were managed electronically. He had no way of knowing the time. The light was always artificial. The windows were blackened. He had no calendar or time, as you mentioned earlier. He really didn't see people, especially in the beginning. He only had contact with his interrogators. So when you see the mental shape of Jose Padilla, and even in the trial, when his attorneys were defending him in a maximum way, he wanted them to go easy on the government, imagining that they would go easy on him. Call it naivete, but I call it a mental disorder. Now, certainly deprived of contact with the rest of the world, he might have no idea of what John Ashcroft has said about him, of what the Bush administration's posture toward him has been, how they tortured the law after the Supreme Court decision, challenged their continuing detention and the plan to bring him to a military tribunal. No, no, the Supreme Court said, he's a United States citizen. So the Bush administration shifted gears, put on this monkey trial in Miami with two co-defendants, whom it appeared Padilla barely knew, 3,000 intercepted phone calls produced two wiretaps that Padilla participated in, and the transcripts show that his comments were noncommittal. And keep in mind that his affiliation with Al-Qaeda, his alleged attendance at an Al-Qaeda training camp, occurred in the year 2000. So when you add it all up, it simply does not add up. And I'm outraged at this miscarriage of justice and the way the media, in many cases, has used this to say, look, the courts work. We can try terror suspects in our federal courts. That is missing the point in a huge, huge way. We'll continue in just a moment. If you have a question or comment about the Padilla trial, join us. We found Lewis Cook, and he'll be with us in just a moment right after the break. Our toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Tired of commuting an hour or more every day so you can make money for somebody else? Would you like to build a successful home-based business? Let Tanya Simmons show you how. Attend the CyberWise Opportunity Rally on Saturday, August 25th at 1:30 p.m. The CyberWise Opportunity Rally will be held at the Valley Center Bowl in Salinas. Call John Gaines at 831-229-2546 to reserve your place at the CyberWise Opportunity Rally. Call John Gaines now at 229-2546. That number again is 229-2546.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters in Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
The Colts in session. The Colts in session. Now, here come the judge. Here come the judge.
And the judge ruled, actually the jury returned a verdict, that Jose Padilla is guilty on all counts. Louis E. Cook is the veteran Chicago journalist who covered the trial for FireDogLake.com, and we found him. Lou, we were trying to call your fax line, and it wouldn't give up a thing.
Well, the fax line usually doesn't.
How are you doing today?
Actually, pretty good.
Well, I took the opportunity while we were trying to get a hold of you to read portions of your post-trial post regarding the mental condition of Jose Padilla after 3.5 years of incredible isolation, what amounts to torture, at the Navy brig in Charleston. So maybe you want to sum up that remark, and then I'll just ask you for your broad comments on the outcome of this trial.
Well, I mean, the fact is that the government has driven him crazy. They picked him up on a charge. They never gave him a lawyer. They never gave him habeas corpus. They put him in the brig for 3.5 years and drove him crazy. They did that by isolating him. They put mufflers over his ears, masks over his eyes, and made him live in a kind of world of silence, aside from the occasional questioning that he would get for 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically crazy.
And the psychiatrist who examined him cited these instances where he thought that if he was nice to the government, they'd be nice to him.
Yes. I mean, this is known as the Stockholm Syndrome, that you begin to identify with your oppressor. It is such an abhorrent thought. By the way, this doesn't go back to just George Bush. I've been reading about, you know about the concept of rendition.
Yep.
That's where we pick up somebody and shove them over to a country that's going to torture them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that this tradition goes back as far as Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
And up to Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And Clinton's people did it. Clinton's had a lot of checks and balances. Bush made it possible just on somebody's say-so to pick somebody up and put him in a situation where he or she would be tortured. This is what we have right now. I mean, we're in the last throes of it. We've got the report today about George Tenet and his CIA being incompetent and knowing about a couple of the 9/11 hijackers were in the United States and didn't tell 50 or 60 CIA people knew and didn't tell the FBI at all. So what do we do when George Tenet retires? Well, President Bush gives him the Medal of Freedom,
yeah,
the nation's highest honor.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's all a very kind of depressing thing, except for one thing. I think that there are a huge number of errors in the trial. I think Judge Cook did a very poor job of being judicial in her decision.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's going to come back and bite her when it gets to the appeals court and probably the Supreme Court. Now, the one thing that's very clear that people don't talk a lot about is that the courts read the newspapers, and they're going to read come 08 about a landslide election, which is going to turn the House and the Senate both completely Democratic, probably veto-proof, or at least they won't be able. There'll be enough so the Senate can't block, by forcing a two-thirds.
The cloture vote. Yeah.
Yeah, the cloture vote.
Mm-hmm.
So the judges are going to read the papers. They know the way the country feels. They know that now we've got George Bush talking about the similarities between Iraq and Vietnam. Like, what? Vietnam? We lost that war.
Mm-hmm.
We lost the war. And do you know what? In losing the war, the world did not come to an end. Right now, we've got people vacationing in Vietnam. So, nothing is forever.
Mm-hmm. Lou, we just have about a minute remaining here. If you wanted to share just one impression of this trial and what went sideways that caused this flimsy evidence to persuade the jury to convict Padilla, what would you describe?
I'd say the jury was never going to find him innocent. They had gone in knowing that they would convict. That is the shortest time that a jury of a trial that length ever came in with a verdict. These people knew exactly what they were going to do. They didn't deliberate. They just sat there for a day and a quarter and gave their verdict.
Yeah.
So, in a sense, they can now call themselves 100% American, and they can go on their way not having done justice.
Mm-hmm.
But that's to me, it's, okay, I'm going to be writing a book about it, and I'm deep into it now. So, I just think it's a tragedy and a travesty, but I think it will be righted in such a way in terms of the law. The law will catch up with this and it will deal with it properly.
Well, I hope you're right, and I hope that it is the convictions overturned on appeal, but I'm not so sanguine about the John Roberts Supreme Court. Thank you very much, Lou Cook. Great to talk with you again. We'll be in touch and let us know when the book's ready.
Thank you very much.
All right. Good to talk with you again. Robert Scheer joins us next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs, and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. As I mentioned, we've got a lineup of great journalists on our program today. Robert Perry, who helped break the Iran-Contra story back in the 80s and has been investigating feverishly ever since, will join us at the top of the next hour. Ah, but first, Robert Scheer returns to our program. Bob Scheer is a longtime journalist, and some of his great work is distilled in his most recent book, Playing President. His interviews with Carter, Nixon, Bush 1, Reagan, and Clinton, and how they didn't prepare him for George W. Bush, who's the only recent president who has not been interviewed by Robert Scheer. He used to write for the L.A. Times, his syndicated column, now hosted by the San Francisco Chronicle. And when the Tribune Company took over the Times and that led to his departure, Bob didn't just get angry. He got himself a website, and it's truthdig.com, where there's a lot of great reporting going on. And just one note to mention, Bob, Chris Hedges has been on our program many times, and I first saw some of his recent reporting at Truthdig.
Well, we are now his home website. This is the guy who was the New York Times bureau chief in the Mideast for 8 years, and he left the New York Times, and he's now on truthdig.com. as well as writing great books.
Yeah. And I should mention, I often forget to do this, that Robert Scheer is a radio guy, too. He is co-host of Left, Right, and Center with Arianna Huffington. And who else is on the show?
Tony Blankley, the editor of the Washington Times.
Oh, yeah. Former Newt Gingrich press guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Miller.
Oh, and Matt Miller,
who
too.
Who writes for Fortune magazine.
Mm-hmm.
He's the center.
And in his spare time, Robert Scheer teaches journalism at the University of Southern California.
Yeah, that's where I am now, which is why the phone is ringing and there's all sorts of background noise, but you'll have to bear with it.
No problem. And are students starting to return there?
Yeah. The first football game is on September 1st, so there's a lot of excitement. This is USC, you know.
Yeah, I know. Where the Trojans are all extra large and ribbed for extra pleasure. Well, Bob, I wanted to start off with the column that appeared in the Chronicle here in San Francisco today. You nailed it once again. And you contrast some of the rosy reports coming from people who took a vacation to Iraq under the auspices, usually, of Pentagon minders, with the stunning op-ed that was written by seven non-officers, but enlisted men and non-commissioned officers serving in Iraq. And the blowback from that is very interesting. Just last night, my TiVo picked up a Dan Abrams show on MSNBC when it was supposed to get me the news hour on PBS. And I suffered through a few minutes of it. And they were attacking these troops who had written this powerful piece and suggesting that they should be disciplined for expressing themselves. And my friend Paul Rykoff from IAVA, Iraq Afghanistan Veterans of America, was very strong in his defense of their right to speak out.
Well, not just their right to speak out. First of all, they say very clearly, these guys have been there for 15 months, and they've been in the midst of very serious fighting. And they end their column by saying very clearly that their morale is high. They will complete the mission. They will do what they're asked to do. And one of them was seriously wounded in the head between the time of the writing of the column and the time of its publication. So how dare anyone challenge their right to express themselves? And they are merely trying to counter the incredible fabrications that the Pentagon is officially putting out through these, you know, journalistic leaks and these heavily guided tours. I mean, 73 senators have gone over there. They go over there for a few days and then, you know, come back with these rosy projections. And these guys are saying, look, it's not that way at all. We've wandered into the middle of an incredible historical mess going back thousands of years of rivalry and tribalism and religious differences. And you expect us to sort this out and we don't even know which end is up. And they're very clear about it. And I think it's the most compelling analysis, really, to come out of the whole Iraq war. I just urge everyone to read it. They can Google it. It's on the Truthdig site. It's obviously on the New York Times site where it ran first.
Mm-hmm.
It's all over the Internet. And, you know, as I say in my own column, we don't do it justice by just quoting some paragraphs where people. It's just a compelling statement. It's kind of the all quiet on the Western Front. If you would think of one thing to come out of this war, that would be it.
Well, and let me defy you and just lift one quote anyway. The claim that we are increasingly in control of the battlefields in Iraq is an assessment arrived at through a flawed, American-centered framework. Yes, we are militarily superior, but our successes are offset by failures elsewhere. What soldiers call the battle space remains the same, with changes only at the margins. It's crowded with actors who don't fit neatly into boxes. Sunni extremists, Al-Qaeda terrorists, Shiite militiamen, criminals, and armed tribes. This situation is made more complex by the questionable loyalties and Janus-faced role of the Iraqi police and Iraqi army, which have been trained and armed at United States taxpayers' expense. And they go on to tell the story of a recent incident that they witnessed themselves where between an Iraqi police checkpoint and Iraqi army checkpoint, an IED, one of these little explosives, was detonated, and local civilians said that they saw members of the Iraqi army helped the militants come in and plant that device. So the very people we believe we are supporting are turning on us, and this is an untenable situation.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, the Iraqi army and police force have been taken over by the militias, loyal to one religious faction or another. The Shiites, basically, are loyal to factions that came out of Iran, which we have declared an enemy, and they were living there for decades, their leadership, and the U.S. government has officially said these militias get these more advanced weapons that are now targeting the Green Zone, as well as piercing American heavy armor to terrible effect, and they're getting it from Iran, and yet we know the militias have totally infiltrated the police and the military, and we've spent billions on this. It's just outrageous. I mean, you know, we've wandered into a, we've not only wandered, we helped create a civil war. We've exacerbated the ethnic and religious tensions that were there, and we insist that our continued presence is necessary to make it better, when it's clear our continued presence only makes it worse, you know?
And we do have these elected officials going on these junkets into Iraq. You cite Jerry McNerney, who we've invited on the program, and I hope he'll be with us this Friday. He's a freshman congressman, and to his credit, he replaced Richard Pombo. And in full disclosure, I helped in the primary with Pete McCloskey's campaign to soften up Richard Pombo, and I was delighted that McNerney won. But he came back from Iraq, and you're not the only one who's been hitting him today, Bob. Many bloggers and other sites I visited are aware of the remarks that McNerney has made. And he says that he wants to rethink things, he wants to soften up the Democratic demands for a hard timeline, and he wants to negotiate with the Republicans and the generals. Now, I just think that that is extremely naive, and until I can talk to McNerney, I have to believe that he's been snookered.
Well, you know, I have to think that the worst thing to come out of this war, and I include the horrible deaths of Iraqi people and American GIs, is the long-term effects on the image of democracy and representative government in the world. And here we're trumpeting a model of democracy that is a great model to the world, and yet we have a situation where we now have well over 60, maybe 70% of the American public wants to get out of Iraq. The last election said that. That's why the Democrats got in power. And yet it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean a thing. And, in fact, the war is intensified. And this is what happened with Vietnam. I mean, we were saying we're there for democracy, we're there for freedom. And, in fact, the American public couldn't control the action. We were lied to, as we have been lied to continuously here. And then when, despite the lying, the people speak up, the representatives betray them. And I think the Democrats right now, in my column, I went after the Democrats. I don't think they're delivering on the electoral mandate. And you know, I don't really care what these individual congressional people think when they go over there for 3 days or 4 days. The fact is they're spending our money. They're hurting our society. They're hurting our image of the world. And it's clear that the American public wants this to end. And if they can't end it, what is the meaning of representative democracy?
Yeah. Well, and next, let's talk about Carl Levin, the senior senator from Michigan, who took his junket over to Iraq with John Warner, the former chair of the Armed Services Committee, and the ranking Republican now on that committee. And they came back, and they offered this public advice that Maliki should resign and the Iraqi parliament should replace him. Well, I agree with part of their assessment that Maliki is pretty much useless. And after all, he was our handpicked puppet, and he hasn't been able to deliver on what we've asked him for. What I think is a fundamental mistake, and gosh, this puts me into momentary agreement with George W. Bush, is that for American politicians to tell the Iraqis that they ought to dump their prime minister in the middle of a term strikes me as something that cannot be received well by Iraqis.
Well, you know, that one of the great things about that statement by the seven active duty soldiers
is they made some really compelling points about the reality of political life. And they said, look, you believe in democracy. The fact is 60% of the people in this country are Shiites, you know, and Maliki is responding to them. And they're not the least bit interested in really having a unity government with the Sunnis who oppress them, or with the Kurds, for that matter, who really want their own state.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are given to an Islamic authoritarian view of how society should be run. And the fact is, they should be able to make their own history. And you may not like it, but you're the ones that opened the gates.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Maliki really threw down a tremendous challenge today in Syria, of all places. He's gone to Iran now looking for friends. He's gone to Syria. And he said, you know, if the U.S. government continues to attack me, we have friends elsewhere. That was the threat he made. And that's the reality.
Yeah.
The reality is this is another example of a monster of our own creation, and then we have to assassinate him. We created Saddam Hussein. The American mass media refuses to acknowledge that fact. We created that guy. He was an assassin. We used him to try to kill a guy named Qasem because we didn't like him. He was the leader of Iraq. We thought he was tilting towards the Soviets. Saddam Hussein was a Ba'athist thug. He was recruited. We built him up. We supported him in his war in Iran. He was our guy.
We gave him chemical weapons?
Yeah, we gave him everything. And then a monster of our creation, then we turn on him. Well, we did that in Vietnam with one leader after another. We killed Ngo Dinh Diem. I mean, this is all documented history. This is not some kind of conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Pentagon Papers documented it. We were party to killing the guy we had called the George Washington of his country. And then we proceeded to dump every leader who came after him.
That's what we've done in Iraq.
We went in there with Chalabi. He was going to be the George Washington. He's gone. We call him an Iranian agent. Alawi, another CIA guy, we dumped him, you know, and now you're going to dump Maliki, and you're going to call this democracy. And I agree with what I think you were saying about Levin's remarks. I thought they were first of all, I thought it was absurd for Levin to be sitting there in Tel Aviv holding a press conference to explain what should be done in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
you know, feeding all sorts of nationalist and religious tensions.
Right.
And then, you know, to say you have a matter of days to get rid of this guy, I mean, what is that, blackmail? You know, and I think this guy, Maliki, gets stronger the more he's attacked. And I think he will turn to Syria. By the way, I don't think that's such a bad thing if he turns to Syria and Iran. I think that Iraq has to find its own level within the redefined Mideast. And they have to make their own history, the Iraqis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they've got to decide how much bloodshed they want to take and how much civil war they want to have. My own feeling is it's very much like our getting out of Vietnam. There were great predictions of bloodbaths and so forth. The fact is, you know, we now live with Vietnam. We have normal relations. Most of the Vietnamese who left now have normal relations back with their countrymen and their families. Many of them go back to Vietnam and to their retirement. The same thing happened with the overseas Chinese, you know. So you know, Bush, and you know, today on Wednesday, you know, he wants to make a big comparison with wars we fought in Asia. The real comparison is, in fact, these you know, sworn enemies and so forth became friends and traders, and they mm-hmm. now carry our debt. We get along with communist China. We get along with communist Vietnam. And all the predictions about what would happen if we get out did turn out to be false. They didn't attack us in San Diego.
And the elliptical history that he cited in trying to compare the problems post-Vietnam with what he thinks will happen when we pull out of his occupation of Iraq, the killing fields and that sort of thing, that's part of Nixon's illegal incursions into Laos and Cambodia.
Oh, let's get more accurate than even that. Yes, we extended the war to Cambodia, but don't forget, the only reason the killing stopped is the Vietnamese went in there.
Right.
The Vietnamese communists went into Cambodia, and they're the ones who threw out Pol Pot.
Right.
And what happened after then, which is discussed in my Playing President book in some detail, Jimmy Carter, who has been a great ex-president, as president, listening to Richard Holbrooke, another great Democratic advisor who supported the Iraq War, at that time, that Pol Pot was kicked out by the Vietnamese. We supported a coalition that included Pol Pot to get rid of Hun Sen, the Vietnamese guy,
mm-hmm.
and we were allies of the communist Chinese in trying to get Pol Pot back in power. And I happened to be in Vietnam at the time of the Hun Sen coup a decade ago. And I remember Pol Pot was still running around in the jungle, not far from where I was up in Siem Reap. And it was amazing irony to me. The man who had done the killing fields was a guy that the U.S. government supported after the killing fields. Just by the way, if you want to take Saddam Hussein, we supported Saddam Hussein after he committed the crimes for which he was convicted and hung. After.
That is
those
true.
Crimes were committed in 1982, and we supported him for years after in his war with Iran, knowing full well of the crimes he had committed.
We got to take a break, and we'll return with Robert Scheer. You got a question or a comment? Call me now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Read Bob Scheer's column today at truthdig.com.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Cornucopia Natural Foods Carmel, Carmel Valley Market, and Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
As long as there's been man, there have been UFO sightings. The Bible speaks of UFOs. People report sightings daily, so why doesn't this information make the news? Find out at the Bay Area UFO Expo, San Jose Doubletree Inn. Over 80 exhibitors, hosts, Jordan Maxwell, George Norrie, Jesse Marcel Jr., John Lear, Sean David Morton, and others cover subjects including UFOs, Sasquatch, Kabbalistic healings, ET encounters, Tesla technology, Earth mysteries, and much more. The 9th annual Bay Area UFO Expo.com at the San Jose Doubletree Inn this Saturday, Sunday, August 25th, 26th. Your chance to go above top secret at the Bay Area UFO Expo.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com, SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. SoberStones.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and it's our Mission Accomplished music. I think this is number one on Bush's iPod when he's riding that mountain bike. We're talking with Robert Scheer. He's a syndicated columnist, professor of journalism at USC, and a guy who's been watching our country for a long time now. And Dave joins us from Eureka with a comment. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter and Robert. I feel the need sometimes to share an observation that I find valid, and that is that everything about this administration is shifting wealth from the working people and the poor to the very wealthiest in the world. And these wars, are very profitable to some big special corporate special interests, and I find that to be more than a coincidence. All talk of what they might do that would be better is irrelevant if what they're there to do is simply to rob our treasury and grab everything that they can for their Halliburtons and their Bechtels and their very wealthiest corporate mm-hmm. interests. And that's my observation. That's what they're all about.
Robert?
Yeah, I agree with that. My next book is on the military-industrial complex, and in my Playing President book, I pay tribute to President Dwight Eisenhower, as I think the best president we've had, certainly in the last half century. And I think he was, as a general and would fought a war, so aware of the war profiteers and how they would set the agenda. And that was the warning he gave in his farewell address. And it's something the mass media never discusses, the profitability of death through war, and that you need a hot war in order to justify all these weapon systems. I mean, here you had the 9/11 attack done by people with $3 knives, box cutters.
Right.
And what do? You ramp up the defense budget. Now it's bigger than at the height of the Cold War. And you're building all kinds of stealth fighters and bombers. And you have nuclear weapons being developed and massive military spending. It has absolutely nothing to do with stopping these terrorists at all. Nothing to do with 9/11. And bankrupting the country, preventing us from being competitive with all those people out there who are dealing with developing good cars and things and not making this useless junk. And that way they justify it is because they have a hot war going in Iraq.
Yeah.
It is the biggest scandal of our lifetime.
Pentagon budget will be about $650 billion, if not more.
But the $650 billion is just that doesn't take in the intelligence, the Energy Department,
mm-hmm.
the Homeland Security. You're talking well over $1 trillion. And then there's the long cost of veterans' benefits and servicing the debt.
That's only about 70 years.
Is connected to it.
The veterans' legacy is only about 70 years, Bob.
No, but, it's just for the next 50 years, people are going to be paying for this war.
Yeah.
First of all, they're going to be paying for this war because there are going to be all kinds of angry people whose grandfathers got killed by us or, cousins got killed by us or what have you, or tortured or what have that. So those grievances, unfortunately, last, and they stain history, and we'll be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be trying to undo the mess that we've created for the next half century, and we're going to be paying the cost. These weapon systems that they're commissioning now, and they'll all be paying out over the next 10, 20 years, and you can forget about any new great social agenda. And that's where the Democrats have to be called to task.
Yeah.
They're wasting the money that could be going to fixing the schools or building infrastructure, repairing the bridges, developing a decent medical system, and they're squandering on a military program they don't even question.
Let's go to Holly in Eureka. Holly, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thanks. I wanted to expand on what Dave said. While you were on vacation, I heard once, and I'm old enough to remember that during Watergate there were things that we just heard once and then we never heard again. But I heard that Dianne Feinstein's husband, a man named Bloom.
Yeah, William Bloom, or Richard Bloom.
Okay, is has a contractor to the tune of $5 billion in Iraq.
Well, it's through a holding company called URS. Isn't that right, Bob?
Okay, so it is true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and the other thing, Peter B., is when they broke from you for the national news, I just went ballistic. Because George W. Bush, and I'm old enough to remember what he did during Vietnam, or didn't do, he's saying that we need to remember the lessons of Vietnam. Now, if that's not enough to make you fighting mad crazy...
Yeah, it is amazing. Quick comment from Robert Chu. I got about 30 seconds.
Well, the lesson of Vietnam is they're selling their products in Costco and competing with the communist Chinese in Costco and Walmart, and that war was unnecessary, and the whole battle with China was unnecessary, and the military solution that we've applied to Iraq is an absolute disaster, and I think your callers are absolutely right. It's really to increase the profit of the war profiteers. That's the only reason for this happening.
And Feinstein and her husband Blum, a concern to you?
Yeah, it's a big concern to me, but Halliburton's an even bigger concern. The idea that the Vice President of the United States should be shoveling these hundreds of billions of dollars in the direction of companies that he was connected with, I can't believe that
amazing.
Congress is not tearing that scandal apart.
Robert Scheer, always a pleasure. We'll talk again soon. And in the meantime, I want people to visit truthdig.com. We'll continue with journalist Robert Perry next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
You know, I,
The show on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
22 people are dead in flooding in seven states.
Mother Nature is mad. That's what I think.
Water still rising in Ohio. New floods expected in Iowa and Nebraska.
They don't call them sexy seniors for nothing. I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington.
Yep, it is a sex story. Don't go away. This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Harley Carnes.
Right now we're just trying to determine the extent of the damage.
Ohio Governor Ted Strickland, like his counterparts in at least six other states, trying to get a handle on the floods caused by two big weather systems.
How many of you is there?
Me and my dog.
You and your dog?
Yeah.
That's in Bucyrus, Ohio. In Findlay, Ohio.
Our basement was full to the garage, and somebody just drove by, and we were using a little swimming pool pump that another neighbor brought, and said, "Do you need a pump?" And I'm like, "Yeah, thank you, Jesus, we do."
It's a disaster in nine northern Ohio counties, officially. Not much different in parts of Wisconsin and Minnesota.
They have no home. They have nothing to come back to, and they have no insurance to cover it.
That's Jack Roberts, the mayor of Stockton, Minnesota. Some small towns are completely flooded. Every business, nearly all the homes. As the state's Homeland Security director put it, for those people, it's like Katrina. Now this.
Hey, Dave. Mike here. Hey, this afternoon at around 2:27, the plumbing's going to back up with a lot of grayish, goopy stuff. It'll all overflow onto the tile floor and make a nice little safety hazard. Cool? Anyway, just thought you should know.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So Granger's just added thousands of new plumbing products to help get you through whatever the day brings. We're adding products and removing problems. Valves, fittings, fixtures, toilets, water heaters, whatever it takes. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Granger.com. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know, good things just make me happy. So when I can find those good things on sale, that makes me really happy. Like right now at my neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store, I can save $8 a gallon on Duration Home Interior, the ultimate in beauty and washability. I love it. It's just the best paint I've ever used. I can also save $8 a gallon on Duration Exterior. It covers in one coat and it's guaranteed for as long as I own my home. All this and amazing prices. Please, can you hear me smiling?
A terror bomber in a truck has killed at least 45 people in northern Iraq, 25 of them police at a police agency building. Also in northern Iraq,
two UH-60 Black Hawk helicopters were on a night operation when one of the aircraft crashed.
That's Army General Kevin Bergner.
Initial indications are that the aircraft experienced a mechanical malfunction. There were no indications of hostile fire. The cause of the acts of the incident is under investigation.
All 14 soldiers on that Black Hawk died in the crash. What about Iraq's prime minister and Democratic calls that he be replaced with someone more conciliatory?
Using language that leaves no doubt of his support for Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, President Bush called him a good guy and a good man with a difficult job. And he told members of Congress calling for al-Maliki's ouster to back off.
And it's not up to the politicians in Washington, D.C., to say whether he will remain in his position.
The endorsement was intended to correct the impression Mr. Bush gave yesterday that he was backing away from al-Maliki for making too slow progress toward reconciliation in Iraq. Mark Noller, CBS News, with the president in Kansas City.
The few with political approval ratings lower than President Bush's are on Capitol Hill. Gallup says Congress approval rating is just 18%. Older, with a smile and still having sex. Three cheers for Viagra and its cousins.
When the Golden Girls showed their sexy side at a pharmacy, they tried being discreet, but...
Joe, I need a price check on some condoms.
A landmark survey in the New England Journal of Medicine shows seniors now are sexually active and more open about it.
The vast majority of older adults regarded sexuality as at least a somewhat important part of life.
Most up to age 75 said they had sex in the past year, the majority of them 2-3 or more times a month. Men are more active than women and far more likely to use drugs to improve function. University of Chicago researcher Stacy Tesler-Lindau.
When asked if a doctor had ever initiated a discussion about sexuality since age 50, most people said no.
Even though this study finds a clear link between senior sex and good health. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Once you reach a certain age, by golly, if you want to eat a donut, you ought to be able to do it. And so when Putnam County, New York health officials thought they just might outlaw free donuts at senior citizen centers for health reasons, the old folks shouted them down with indignance and anger. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-40-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO-NOW. Call now.
Virginia Tech has taken a look at itself and the way it handles troubled students, or ought.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show.
As I was walking a ribbon of highway, I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for you and me. I roamed and rambled and followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond desert.
We're going to spend this hour with journalist Robert Parry, the guy who helped break the Iran-Contra story in the 1980s, and he's been digging for dirt ever since.
This land is your land. This land is my land.
Robert Parry writes at consortiumnews.com, which is a nonprofit, and I invite you to support it if you have the means to do so, because he does a lot of great work, and from what I can tell, the budgets are not robust there at the consortiumnews.com news desk. Bob Parry, welcome back to our program.
Thanks, Peter.
Nice to talk with you again. And from the website, I see that you have a new book. Is Neck Deep out yet?
Yes, it's available on the internet. We haven't yet released it to, or has not been released yet to the bookstores, but it is available both through the publisher's website at neckdeepbook.com and through amazon.com. And if people buy it through the publisher's website, then $5 for each purchase gets rebated to our, keep our website going.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, could I ask your people to send my people a copy of the book? Because next time we have you on, we'll go in depth on that.
I'd love to.
Yeah. The full title is Neck Deep, The Disastrous Presidency of George W. Bush. And I want to catch up on a couple of recent posts of yours, Bob. And why don't I let you choose the order? There's one that went up just today about, it's called If Democrats Want to Lose. And the other that I think is really powerful is the one about Donald Rumsfeld's resignation. So I'll let
you... Sure. I think both of them are kind of interconnect somewhat. The piece on Donald Rumsfeld's resignation is, I think, an interesting tale about the perceptions of what happened around the election in November of 2006. It was generally believed at that time that when the Democrats won on November 7th, and the next day George W. Bush announced the ouster of his defense secretary, Donald Rumsfeld, and the appointment of Robert Gates, the former CIA director, that Bush was making a major concession to the Democrats and to the and to Republicans, or the so-called realists, his father's group. Newsweek even had a cover showing a large George H.W. Bush in the foreground and George W. Bush kind of as a little kid. So that was the perception at the time. It turned out to be entirely false. The reality was, as we now know, that on November 6th, the day before the election, Donald Rumsfeld had submitted a memo which had called for de-escalating the war in Iraq. He simultaneously, or the same day anyway, we now know, submitted his letter of resignation. So, and even before that, the weekend before, that would have been November 6th would have been a Tuesday, the weekend before, George Bush had called Robert Gates to his ranch and basically laid out for him the possibility of becoming defense secretary and sounding out Gates if he would essentially buy into the neoconservative vision for the Middle East, which Bush at least felt Gates was amenable to. So what we had was really, the story really was that Rumsfeld was going wobbly on the war, and Bush got rid of him and put in someone fresh who he thought could at least promote the continuation and even the escalation of the war. So while the Democrats and some of the realist Republicans were sitting around thinking that Bush was making major concessions, he was actually preparing to take them on frontally and not just nix this idea of de-escalating, but actually begin escalating, which he did with the surge. So the Democrats were sort of living with wishful thinking. And even when some of this has sort of come out, the memo, the Rumsfeld memo came out in December, and even before, it was before the Gates hearings, but the Democrats did not make an issue out of it. Yeah. They basically, I think, were still so happy that Rumsfeld had left that they just did not want to make a big deal of it. And then subsequently, you had it was only a week or so ago that the resignation letter was flushed out by Reuters and other news agencies, and it showed to people's surprise that instead of the November 8th resignation that people had thought, it was actually November 6th. So you have here a whole story, a whole narrative of how this developed, where the American people, and because if they listened to the mainstream press, would have had it completely wrong.
Yeah. Let's go into a couple of details here. First of all, you published in your article that people can find at consortiumnews.com a quote from the Rumsfeld memo of November 6. Clearly, what U.S. forces are currently doing in Iraq is not working well enough or fast enough, and he was seeking consideration of an accelerated drawdown of U.S. bases from 55 to 10 or 15 by April of this year and to 5 by July of this year. So if Rumsfeld's plan had been put into effect, we'd be much further along in withdrawal of U.S. forces from Iraq than any of the Democratic plans that have been offered as part of the debate over the supplemental and the surge that occurred this spring.
Right. Rumsfeld was basically moving in line with Congressman Murtha, who had been recommending for some time this refocusing of the war effort, essentially having some Americans left behind as a strike force against Al-Qaeda or for important security missions, but essentially removing the American troops from a combat role. And that's where that was the direction that Rumsfeld was headed. It was not the direction that George Bush wanted to take, or presumably Dick Cheney. So Rumsfeld, rather than being one of the guys being tossed over the side because he was a war proponent, he was actually tossed over the side because he'd become a war skeptic.
That's remarkable. And the fact that the Democrats didn't really see the significance of this as they were busy kissing up to Bob Gates and rolling over for his appointment, I never expected them to stop it. But I would love to have seen more aggressive questioning and more negative votes on his nomination, if only to lay out that marker that, you know, he didn't have the unqualified support of the Democratic caucus in the Senate.
Right. He was praised for his candor by Hillary Clinton and others on the Senate Armed Services Committee. So what the American people did not get was either a full accounting of how that resignation of Rumsfeld had occurred and what the appointment of Gates really meant, nor did the Democrats go into Gates' histories, which we tried to do in some of our pieces back at that time. We did a series of stories about the real Bob Gates, and I was even able to get some former CIA officers who knew him personally, knew him well, to write about their personal knowledge of how he ran the CIA and what his role was there. He was essentially a classic apple polisher who did what his superiors wanted. In the case of Bill Casey, who was sort of his mentor as he rose rapidly through the CIA in the 1980s, Casey wanted a super hardliner, so Gates took over the intelligence division, the side that does the analysis, and essentially began the process of politicizing the analytical division of CIA, which by the time you get to the end of the 80s is a very advanced problem, and it never gets corrected. And then under Tenet, who's a similar style guy who knows basically whose apple to polish, he furthered that in leading the country into the prelude to the Iraq invasion.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we'll come back to Rumsfeld after the break, but let's stay with the CIA for a minute here and the Gates legacy there. We now have a report that was buried for over 2 years from the CIA Inspector General about the failures at the agency in dealing with the evidence and the tip-offs that they got prior to 9/11. And, of course, George Tenet with his Medal of Freedom and his fat book deal money in the bank is blustering that, this isn't fair and it's not accurate. And even the report didn't really point fingers. It said there was no criminal behavior and there's no silver bullet that would have prevented it. But when you read between the lines, it's a pretty scathing indictment of the failures of the agency and our intelligence community at large in the 9/11 attacks.
Right. It's clear that not only did the CIA fail, but the FBI failed, at least at the higher levels in Washington, and the Bush administration failed. And to some degree, you could put some of the blame back on the Clinton people, too, although I think a lot of what Clinton's problem was when he came in 1993, he did not understand the need to really revitalize the CIA in the best sense of the word. That is, that he did not want to really go back in and appoint people who would have demanded honest analysis. Because part of the CIA, there are two parts of it, obviously. There's the operations side, which does the spying and the paramilitary stuff, which gets them often in trouble. But there's also the analytical side, which is supposed to be there providing honest information for the government, so the government can make wise decisions. Clinton never seemed to care that much. He put James Woolsey in charge at the beginning, who turned out to be a failure as a CIA director. He never really put the focus on it that he should have. And eventually George Tenet becomes CIA director in the latter part of the Clinton years. And Tenet was just he was essentially a congressional staffer who always did what his superiors wanted. And his chief mentor was Senator David Boren, a very conservative or center-right Democrat, who also didn't want to ever get in much trouble. So he had this sort of go-along, get-along approach. And he took that into the Bush years, and he also had done a lot to make the Bushes happy. He had Tenet had renamed the CIA headquarters after George H.W. Bush, because Bush had been a former CIA director. But it was an extraordinary step to take at a time when Bush's son was trying to be president. And so you have this guy who was just constantly ingratiating himself, running the agency. And when Bush Jr. came in, and essentially his people were downplaying the Al Qaeda threat, focusing on other issues, that was when the various pieces were not put together. The agency failed, the FBI hierarchy failed, a lot of people failed.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return with Robert Perry. Visit his website at consortiumnews.com. Our lines are open if you'd like to talk with him. There's a caller. We'll get to you right after the break. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. You can also drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything's so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with crumbs too. A side of couscous and a vibe of galoosh, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at traffic. Quick update. We're going to take a look at northbound and southbound 17 over the Santa Cruz Mountains. No problems to report. If you're traveling northbound or southbound 1 from Carmel to Monterey, good news in either direction. There are really no problems. In fact, just one problem that happens as far as crashes are concerned. It's in Carmel Valley. They're saying West Carmel Valley Road at Miramonte. This is an injury crash between a car and a truck pulling a tractor. Now, the westbound lane, a westbound lane, is blocked. We have paramedics and firefighters on scene there. Quick reminder, Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at Emmeline. The off-ramp is closed until the summer of 2008. And this report is brought to you by the folks at, here is our ad, it's JCPenney. And this Friday and Saturday, it's JCPenney, lowest prices of the season sale. Doors open 7 a.m. JCPenney.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour. Lines open if you'd like to talk with me and our guest, Robert Perry. Our toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
of insanity.
And this morning, I got an email with a commentary piece written by a guy named Brent Badowski, and promptly called Brent, who's been on the show before, and invited him to come on the program. He'll be with us next hour for a few minutes to describe his piece called Many Democrats Wrong on Iraq Again. And then I went to consortiumnews.com to gear up for our conversation here with Robert Perry. And the number two item there is this piece by Brent Badowski. Great minds do think alike, even miles apart, Bob.
Well, I was talking to Brent earlier today, and he asked if I would post his piece. And it was a good piece. It was it meshes some with the piece that I did today also about if the Democrats want to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks at how the Democrats are now approaching the Iraq war situation without the kind of clear-headed judgment. They're doing very much what they did back in 2002. And my piece looks also at how the Washington insider community is behaving very similarly to how it behaved in 2002, buying into some of the happy false hope that's being put out by the administration and by some in the military, and repeated by some of the same pundits who were all for the war in 2002. And so we're seeing kind of a replay, which is which the Democrats again seem to be buying into, at least in enough numbers to guarantee the war continuing.
Well, and it's very interesting because one of the citations, I'm scrolling down here, I'm pretty sure it's in your article, is Congressman Jerry McNerney, a freshman from California. Yeah, here it is. You referenced it. Robert Scheer, who was on right before you today, Bob, he dinged McNerney for the same quote, and it's all over the blogosphere. So we've invited the congressman to come on our program later this week and explain himself. But he took a short trip, less than a week, in Iraq and came back and saying, you quote him, "We should sit down with Republicans, see what would be acceptable to them to end the war and present it to the president. Start negotiating from the beginning." Now, this just indicates that he appears to have been drinking from some very special Kool-Aid.
Well, you remember the line from former Michigan Governor George Romney. When he was actually, it was interesting, I went back and looked at the history of this. Romney was turning against the Vietnam War in 1967 and described how in 1965 he had been taken on one of these dog and pony show trips through Vietnam arranged by the military and came back with his glowing view of it back in 65. And in 67 he explained that by saying he'd been brainwashed. And, of course, the brainwash quote was used very effectively against him. And essentially destroyed his candidacy for the Republican nomination in for 68. But what Romney was really saying was something that is true, that when you're taken on these kinds of trips, you're given a very selective body of information. Plus, there's just the camaraderie of these trips, the excitement, and you're sort of in this sort of fold, very much like what happened to the embedded reporters during the invasion phase. They bonded with the people they were with, and that's sort of an understandable human reaction. But it often leads to some very bad professional judgments.
Mm-hmm.
The situation in Iraq, while you can always find silver linings in a cloud, is not that much different than it was before. And if one just looks back over the past several years, there have been so many turning points. There have been so many oases, or that turned out to be mirages. Where people will point and say, "Oh, this the capture of Saddam, that will turn this around. The killing of Zarqawi will turn this around. The passage of a constitution will turn this around. The election with the purple fingers will turn this around." And each time it turns out that the American public keeps stumbling deeper into this desert
and Bob,
and never finding the oasis.
You had a very interesting take on the comments from Carl Levin and John Warner. I did a rant about that yesterday because while I agree with the premise that the Maliki government is a failure, to have American officials suggest that the Iraqis should dump him in the middle of a term is quite remarkable. And as you point out in your piece, what Levin is doing is buying time for George W. Bush, because if they do replace Maliki, then we all have to sit back and give him a chance, the next person a chance.
Right. It's really painting the Democrats into a corner. And Levin has been one of the real problems for those who've wanted to get the U.S. out of of Iraq. He is chairman of the Armed Services Committee in the Senate, and he did vote against giving the president war authorization in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
However, since then, he has taken positions that essentially raise the white flag.
Right. Robert, we'll take a break and return and pick up there. Robert Perry with me on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, Dave Ross in for Charles Osgood. The latest poll on the reading habits of American adults shows that the average book in America needn't be too concerned that hordes of readers are going to get fingerprints all over its pages. More after this.
Erectile dysfunction isn't something you want to sing about, but you should talk to your doctor about it. I did, and so have millions of others. In fact, Viagra, also called Sildenafil Citrate, has already helped over 17 million men with ED. Ask your doctor if Viagra's right for you. America's most prescribed ED treatment, more satisfying sexual experiences with my partner. Now that's worth singing about.
Viva Viagra!
Ask your doctor if your heart is healthy enough for sex. Don't take Viagra if you take nitrates for chest pain, as it may cause an unsafe drop in blood pressure. Side effects may include headache, flushing, upset stomach, and abnormal vision. To avoid long-term injuries, stop taking Viagra and call your doctor right away if you experience a sudden decrease in vision or an erection lasting longer than 4 hours. Always remember to protect yourself and your partner against STDs.
To learn more, see our ad in Golf Magazine. Call 1-888-4-VIAGRA or visit Viagra.com today.
According to the latest Associated Press poll, the typical American read 4 books in the past year, but it also found that 27% of U.S. adults say they read no books at all. And it's clear, the publishing industry is flat, and the nation's book count has been dropping for years. Now, we all know how this number is going to be used. The world will look at this and say, more proof that the last remaining superpower is populated by morons. But really, what does a book count tell you? If you have a high book count, is that supposed to mean you're smarter? There are a lot of stupid books out there. If you don't choose carefully, reading could actually make you dumber. And it's not as if Americans don't read. It's just that we do it on the Internet. We're not all downloading The Cat That Eats With a Fork, although it is pretty amazing you could train a cat to do that. We're reading serious articles, blogs about serious subjects like politics and music and food, and the guy who describes his life through the eyes of a turtle, although that hasn't been updated for a while. But have you considered that may be the reason so few Americans read anymore, because we're all so busy writing blogs? By one estimate, there are now 100 million blogs. That's 100 million people who are so busy typing whatever thought enters their head that the only time they pick up a book is to throw it at whoever tries to interrupt them. And that doesn't even count the people whose job it is to comment on the 100 million blogs. The people who have dedicated themselves to finding new ways to call you a moron. A word which now gets 10.3 million hits on Google. Second only to idiot, which gets 42.8 million, and suck, which gets 54 million. When you consider that, the amount of time spent typing those three words alone makes it impossible to read books. Although they might want to pick up a thesaurus once in a while. The Osgood File, Dave Ross, on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interest, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
But if you lose...
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered. Except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue our conversation this hour with journalist Robert Perry. He writes at consortiumnews.com. We overpronounce that a little bit to help you spell it. Consortium, you know that word. And he's got a new book on the way, Neck Deep, The Disastrous Presidency of George W. Bush. You can order it from Amazon, and if you do, $5 will go to support the work there at consortiumnews.com. And, Bob, I had to cut off your comments there because some of these breaks I can delay and some come on like a train wreck, and that was one of those.
That's all right.
But you were talking about Carl Levin, the senator from Michigan, chair of the Armed Services Committee. And as you pointed out, he did vote against the original authorization for the invasion of Iraq. But he has operated in ways that are so senatorial, so, you know, subtle and muted and often deferential to the other side. It's been very frustrating. And these recent comments about dumping the Maliki government, again, while they may have some merit based on the failures of this government, he's our puppet. We installed him. And now for the U.S. to further direct Iraq on how it should conduct its internal affairs, it even offended George W. Bush's sense of their autonomy.
Well, Bush also has made pretty clear, though, and I think some of his people around him, that they're ready for Maliki to be replaced, even though Bush did have some words of praise for Maliki today. But I think the key point would be if Maliki is removed, whether it's a Diem-style violent coup, as we saw in Vietnam in 63, or whether it's a more friendly approach, providing a nice, comfortable exile, maybe in the south of France, as we've done for other leaders who've outlived their usefulness. Either way, if there's a new leadership, Levin has sort of painted the Democrats into a corner of saying, well, we did what you wanted, and now you have to give us a year or so for this new government to work. So instead of moving the administration toward an exit, Levin actually has created an opportunity for them to at least get another 6 months, year, 2 years of a war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing how the Democrats can, you know, they seemed a little promising earlier this year, when they took on the surge via the funding for the supplemental request. And I gave Pelosi and Reid some credit at the time for playing a weak hand as strongly as they could. But we do see how often their efforts to unify the Democrats are undercut by these somewhat independent moves by individuals. We cited Congressman McNerney a moment ago, and Levin, of course, carries a great deal more weight than a freshman like McNerney. But these present real problems for Reid and Pelosi in trying to come up with a unified Democratic position.
Well, the Democrats in the spring did start off, and when they attached a timetable to the appropriations bill, that gave them real clout, and they actually passed that. If you remember, it went to Bush and he vetoed it. But then, instead of facing Bush down and either offering him only short-term renewals or demanding that he actually make some kind of real compromise, they announced, and Levin was one of those who announced, that if Bush didn't bend, the Democrats would crumble, and they would give him a blank check at the end of the day. And when you start off your negotiations telling someone, you know, if you don't bend, I'll do whatever you want, they're not likely to bend. So Bush stayed firm, demanded a blank check, and got one. Well, and that was one of the first things that truly offended, I think, much of the Democratic base.
And the Democrats got caught up in the language of the White House, which effectively propagandized around, quote-unquote, supporting the troops. And
right.
So the Democrats said, well, we will never cut off money to support the troops. And that was another serious mistake, A, to take the framing and language of the White House, and B, to make a pledge like that, because they ultimately will be forced, if they are serious about confronting the president and forcing him to withdraw from Iraq, they will have to take that step, the power of the
right,
purse,
right. I mean,
and cut off the funding.
The Democrats also have been disingenuous when they say they need 60 votes or to beat a Republican filibuster, or 67 votes to override a veto. What they really need is 41 votes if they want to be really tough. I mean, if Bush needs the money, if he needs an appropriation bill to pass, If he's going to refuse to sign one, the Democrats could arguably refuse to let one pass by filibustering. So you could have a standoff with those kinds of numbers. So the Democrats really don't need to affirmatively pass something that gives Bush another blank check.
Mm-hmm.
If he wants another blank check, he really has to get it from them, and they could block it.
Well, and
you hear this 67 vote number thrown around, it's not really accurate.
And I think I've discussed this with you before, Bob. It's fundamental civics that appropriation bills originate in the House. And if the House offers $10 billion when the president asks for $100 billion, certainly negotiations can occur in the conference committee with the Senate, but you can't get $100 billion if the House starts with a $10 billion number.
And the Democrats, by having control of both houses, do control the calendar. The calendar is one of the most important things, and it was the one perhaps really significant achievement by gaining control of Congress last November. But instead of controlling the calendar, they've essentially let the Republicans dominate the calendar. We saw this again right before the August recess when Bush and the Republicans essentially boxed the Democrats into passing this sweeping eavesdropping bill.
That's the NSA amnesty bill, Bob.
Essentially, it was an amnesty bill. It provides, it legalized what Bush had been doing illegally for 4 or 5 years. And it also is now offered future amnesty immunity for communications service companies that turn over your records to the government.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't sue them even if you were improperly identified as someone whose records should be obtained.
Well, take a moment, because you're inside the Beltway there, and I was all the way out of the country on vacation and pretty fully unplugged when that bill passed. And I was stunned, Bob, that the Democrats even let it go to the floor. What happened there, and was there some kind of a deal?
Well, there was the framework for a deal. Basically, the argument that was raised by Congressman Boehner and others was that the FISA court had a few months ago objected for a very narrow reason to some of these warrantless wiretaps. And the point was that if say one terror suspect is talking to another terror suspect, both of them overseas. And if their communication is routed through a U.S. Communications company, is a warrant required? Now, obviously, that was not the intent of the law. That in those cases, warrants are not required. But a very easy fix, one sentence law could have been passed, which people wouldn't even notice, to take care of that. But instead, that became the basis for negotiations that went on, and then essentially the administration and the Republicans in Congress pulled a fast one on the Democrats. As the Democrats and Congress wanted to adjourn for August, the administration said, if you adjourn without giving us what we want, we will say you're soft on terror and are more interested in your vacation than the country's security. So at that point, the Democrats essentially capitulated and gave the president not only what he'd asked for, they gave him a much broader law that strips away many of the safeguards that even the administration had favored at one point.
And
if you were outside the country, Peter, the only real phrasing in that law is that any person who is outside, who is believed to be outside the United States and who may possess information useful for U.S. foreign policy can be subjected to this one-year-long certification to collect your emails, your phone calls, and pretty much anything else they want. All it requires is for you to be outside the country. So it doesn't deal with terror suspects. It doesn't deal with people who are actually trying to harm the United States even.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very broad, open-ended blank check.
Well, I'm still very upset about this. Vexed is the word I would use. And it's hard to believe that the Democrats could be flim-flammed again. I mean, it happened with the Military Commissions Act. This administration has successfully intimidated the Democrats on so many occasions that, it's really frustrating to the point where it's hard to have much confidence in their ability to follow through on the key elements that most progressives thought our leaders got the message on from the last election. Let's take a phone call here. Ben from Salinas, thanks for holding. You're up on the air here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Robert Perry.
Yeah, Peter, maybe McNerney went over there and tripped over some of that missing money Bremer can't find, and maybe they should be looking in his freezers.
All right, we'll ask him.
But I have a question for you and your guests, which is burning in my heart. From August 6th until a few days after 9/11 in 2001, Mr. Cheney made 6 visits directly one-on-one to tenants' office. That is a matter of record. Now, since tenants' credibility is being brought to the bar, shouldn't the minutes, and you know they take minutes to protect themselves, shouldn't the minutes of those meetings and that agenda, that whatever they discussed, I remember at the time people were wondering, well, what's Cheney doing over there if Bush is supposed to be president? Now, we need to know that question, just like we need to know that guard that was on duty that morning of 9/11 when Cheney was at the consul and Norma Mineta walked in. There's a duty roster. That officer that said, does that office still hold when the plane was at 10 miles of the Twin Towers, when he said, does the order still hold? We need to know, what was that order, who signed it, and who that officer was.
Good questions, Ben. Bob, your comment?
Well, I think the Bush administration has obviously been one of the most secretive in history. And one thing that has always struck me, since I've also dealt with the Reagan-Bush years, one of the first acts that George W. Bush undertook when he entered the White House on January 20th, 2001, was to sign an executive order which effectively sealed off records that were supposed to be released, records for going back to 1981 and the beginning of the Reagan-Bush years. So, and then later on, after 9/11, Bush Jr. extended that to make it a permanent ban, effectively, on those documents ever being released unless without the approval of not only the principals, not only Vice President George H.W. Bush, President George H.W. Bush, and George W. Bush, but their heirs after they're dead. Jenna and Barbara Bush will have control, apparently, of all these records. So the American people have been essentially sealed off from much of our history.
Yeah. And it's interesting because in the last week or so, Hillary Clinton has been dinged by Republican echo chambers for being slow to release some of her White House files related to the health care bills and other issues that she took on. And while it, you know, clearly for political reasons, she's going to slow that down and keep it from happening until after 08, to hear the conservatives, the Republicans, attack her for that is just priceless.
Well, using all the divide and conquer methods that they're using with Obama and Hillary and Edwards and all that shenanigans going off, the 2008 election is not a done deal by far, and we could still wind up with Jeb Bush, and God help us if we do. Thank you, Peter.
All right, Ben. Appreciate the call today. And Bob Perry, you had an interesting item in this article about the Democrats regarding Air America and the failure of the Democrats and progressives to fund progressive independent media. And I know that, I certainly identify with what you said. And also I know that you and many others, Carolyn Kay, who writes the Make Them Accountable website, Rob over at opednews.com, many people who do a great job and who pour themselves into getting good information and analysis out to people around the country are doing it on a shoestring budget. And, in the last election cycle, Soros and others pumped millions of dollars, $65 million went into Air America alone. And now that money is not available. And, I can't find anybody who's out there saying, gosh, I want to make sure that progressive media outlets survive.
Well, basically, after the election in 2006, the progressive community, to a great extent, seemed to lose interest in media. It's not something that I would say historically the progressives have wanted to support. There's been more of an interest in areas like organizing or in doing actual direct kinds of programs like helping the poor or buying up endangered wetlands and that sort of thing. But that's essentially allowed the right to invest heavily in these areas without being challenged. And I come at it from a mainstream journalistic point of view. I was in AP and Newsweek. And I saw firsthand the way that growing media in the 80s and the attack groups that were set up to go after individual reporters, the effect that had in intimidating mainstream journalists from doing their jobs. People were facing loss of their livelihood if they reported accurately and honestly on things that the Reagan-Bush crowd did not want reported on. You know, the neoconservatives really rose up during that period, and part of their genius, if you will, was the idea of controlling information flows. And they felt if they could, they called it perception management, if they could control how Americans perceived events abroad, by usually by using fear tactics and other things. They felt they could manipulate the American people into supporting policies. And it turned out they were right. But one of the reasons they were right is that because there was no real pushback on media from the more progressive side.
We got to take a break. We'll return with Robert Perry. ConsortiumNews.com is his website. More in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-4888 for carryout to die for.
As long as there's been man, there have been UFO sightings. The Bible speaks of UFOs. People report sightings daily, so why doesn't this information make the news? Find out at the Bay Area UFO Expo, San Jose Doubletree Inn. Over 80 exhibitors, hosts, Jordan Maxwell, George Norrie, Jesse Marcel Jr., John Lear, Sean David Morton, and others cover subjects including UFOs, Sasquatch, Kabbalistic healings, ET encounters, Tesla technology, Earth mysteries, and much more. The 9th annual Bay Area UFO Expo.com at the San Jose Doubletree Inn this Saturday, Sunday, August 25th, 26th. Your chance to go above top secret at the Bay Area UFO Expo.com.
And there we go. The music sounds. That means it's time to give you the very latest. We're going to let you know that we did have a problem. Well, let's see. CHP told us about a situation working in... no, that's not it. It's northbound 17 before the Cat's Restaurant. Apparently, it was blocked. It was a crash. Two cars blocking the left lane. But at this point, it appears everything is cleared up, so that's certainly some great news. Checking Carmel Valley, West Carmel Valley Road at Miramonte. We had an injury crash with a car and a truck pulling a tractor blocking the westbound lane at this point. Watsonville, Highway 1 at Jensen, grass fire burning in the roadway. Fire department is on scene. Monterey, northbound 101 before Mundrus, an overturned pickup truck in the right shoulder there. And in Salinas, northbound 101 after Sanmore, we have a crash on the right shoulder. Two vehicles being reported there. San Martin, Murphy Avenue, and East San Martin, we have a crash there.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour as we continue our conversation with Robert Parry, P-A-R-R-Y. He's at ConsortiumNews.com. And I made a little mistake earlier when I was referencing his new book called Neck Deep, The Disastrous Presidency of George W. Bush. You should go to the publisher's website at neckdeepbook.com because that's where the $5 bonus goes to ConsortiumNews.com. So go ahead and check that out. And if you go to the website, all that information is right there with hot links to make it easy for you. Bob, I wanted to ask you next about a news story that we just saw and my able assistant producer Brian Urban brought to my attention. Ed Markey, who's a liberal congressman from Massachusetts and chairs the House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee, has written a letter to Michael Chertoff, the Homeland Security Secretary, demanding some answers about a new spying initiative. And it appears that when it's boiled down, that the plan is to use military satellites to spy on American citizens. And this seems to violate posse comitatus, which prohibits the military from operating inside our own borders. Have you seen much about this, and can you tell us anything more?
Sure. There was a front page piece in the Wall Street Journal a few days ago describing this. And it, you know, it fits into this overall package of transforming America into kind of a Big Brother-style police state that we have now. Basically, it means that the government will be able to not just listen to phone calls and intercept emails, but literally watch what people do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rationale is always put forward as this would, you know, in case there were some terrorists who were at a safe house, the satellites could spy on them. But as we know, the temptation to government, especially when government officials are under pressure, to spy on people in the past, like Martin Luther King or other people who were part of the civil rights movement or part of the anti-war movement back in the 60s, was pretty powerful. And but in those days, there was a very limited capability technologically for the government to do it. It had to resort to rather crude means, like in the Watergate case of breaking into the Democratic headquarters in 1972 to plant bugs on the phones. Now that would not really be necessary, and the temptation is going to be there for an administration like this one to abuse these extraordinary technological powers that are being given to them.
Well, it's very interesting. We'll watch that carefully. Also, Brian was reviewing some footage from the three-party Canada-Mexico-U.S. summit in Quebec, and there's some very unusual situations showing up on the video where some of the quote-unquote protesters who challenged the police appear to be wearing the exact same boots with the exact same little insignia on the bottom of the sole. That bears some further investigation. Steve in Salinas, you're next. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. I just quite a comment on Carl Levin. I think his comments were misdirected. When he's talking about a failing government, he should be looking at Washington, D.C.
Oh. Yeah, you think we need a midterm replacement?
Yes, and if there's anybody, if Maliki should be replaced, then why can Bush stay there?
Well, that's a very interesting point, and it was fascinating because at the Quebec summit, when Bush was asked about this, he clearly, you know, indicated that he doesn't have unfettered support for Maliki. They tried to fix that in his remarks today before the military veterans. But it was interesting, the daylight that he permitted there. And then one of his statements was that it's up to the Iraqi people to decide whether to keep him or not. And I thought he had like a 4-year term.
Well, it's also rather disingenuous to say it's really up to the Iraqi people. It's not like they have the means to decide how this is going to go. It's going to be something that is pulled together either by some people in the government itself or the military or under the orders of the United States. That's the real world. It's not going to be that the Iraqi people are going to rise up somehow. They're already, in a sense, rising up in many ways, but not to sort of get someone like Chalabi or Alawi to replace Maliki. That's not where that's not how it works in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just in wrapping up, we got about a minute remaining, Bob. What else would you like to mention that you think is critical that maybe doesn't make it into the mainstream media that our listeners would like to know?
Well, I think, you know, there has to be a very serious examination of the kind of concessions that the Congress continues to make in terms of Bush's demands for more and more power in the war on terror. As late as it's gotten, you know, we're now in August of 2007, the ability of this administration and its allies in the right-wing news media to intimidate members of Congress and members of the mainstream press to get them to go along with these intrusions on the Constitution. And these are not just privacy rights we're talking about. They're really constitutional rights. And the odd thing about George Bush's many statements about liberty and freedom is that the approach he's taken is to infringe upon many of the basic definitions that we have for liberty and freedom, which include each citizen, each person in the world having certain inalienable rights. And what we've seen consistently now over the past 5 or 6 years is the erosion of those rights.
Well, and the police state you referred to is certainly taking shape right here under our very noses, and most people are more interested in watching some junk on television. Robert, thanks for joining us. I appreciate your work, and I want people who have the means to contribute to help keep your work underway at consortiumnews.com.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, Robert Perry. We'll talk again soon. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, produced by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is our assistant producer, taking your calls. And you can visit our website to get podcasts and archive programs at peterbcollins.com.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins, and this week I've been behind the wheel of the 2007 Mazda Miata MX-5, a two-door roadster with a hardtop convertible. It's got a fuel-injected 2-liter four-cylinder all-aluminum engine and a 6-speed manual. The Miata's quick and nimble, takes you from 0 to 60 as fast as you can shift. The Miata's low slung hugs the road with great cornering. With four-wheel independent suspension, the rear-drive Miata passed our grueling hill climb test with ease, unlike other rear-drive coupes I've tested. I give Mazda high marks for the engineering on the retractable hardtop roof. You push the button, and in 12 seconds, it opens the trunk, retracts the roof. I think it'll require less maintenance than more complex systems used by Mercedes and Chrysler. One downside, when the top is up, it's pretty noisy inside the cockpit. By the numbers, the Mazda Miata MX-5, rated 24 mpg in the city, 30 on the highway, stickers in California for about $28,000. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Karen Riegel. At least 500 people have been evacuated from their homes in northern Ohio as the state battles the worst flooding it's seen in a century. CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers has the story.
Lupe Steers wanted to stay home, but her family pleaded with her to seek higher ground.
In about an hour and a half, River Street was flooded.
Even lifelong residents say they were caught off guard when a few inches of rain turned into so many feet of water in just a matter of hours.
I have never seen a water raise at that height, at that level, and continually raise.
Many parts of the Midwest are at war with rising waters. In Fort Dodge, Iowa, the battle is against the Des Moines River, already 4 feet above flood stage. Today, engineers opened floodgates hoping to save a levee that was about to fail.
This storm system has killed 22 people. 14 soldiers died today when their helicopter went down in Iraq. There are more helicopters in the air now in Iraq ever since the war began. CBS News correspondent David Martin has that.
The Army's Deputy Director for Aviation says he has more than 400 helos of all kinds operating now in Iraq, more than at any time during the war. Their main mission, says one brigade commander, carry troops in and out of battle. Many operations are at night when reduced vision increases the chances of an accident. But flying in daytime makes a helo an easier target for ground fire. Staying off the roads also keeps troops away from roadside bombs, which have killed about 10 times more soldiers and Marines than have died in helicopters. David Martin, CBS News, the Pentagon.
Looks like Granny's got it going on. A study about sex in seniors finds that most people between the ages of 57 and 85 are, well, quite frisky. The study, published in the New England Journal of Medicine, finds that 73% of seniors have had sex in the past year, the most active at least 3 times a month. When activity does fall, it's because of health problems, says medical correspondent Dr. Jonathan LaPute.
It turns out that about half of the people in this age group have at least one sexual problem. And the sad thing is, only 38% of men and 22% of women discussed it with their doctors. People really need to feel more comfortable about talking about sex with their doctors. And doctors need to feel more comfortable about talking about sex with their patients.
The owner of a mine in Utah where 6 miners were trapped 2 weeks ago says he'll keep looking for his men through the weekend, but he says the searching has to stop sometime.
Of course they're grief-stricken. They want us to go and go and go. But there's a point, if you don't find a live miner down there, that you can't risk more human lives.
3 rescuers died while trying to dig their way to the trapped men. On Wall Street, the Dow closed up 145 points. It ended at 13,236. The Nasdaq closed up 2. It was up 31.5 points, ending the day at 2,552. Oil was down 31 points. This is 31 cents, I should say. This is CBS News.
Can you guess where's Michelin Man? He's heading off-road to the daunting River of No Return. Fortunately, Michelin Man will return because he has Michelin's new LTX AT2 tires with class-leading off-road traction and smooth on-road comfort. For more on LTX AT2 tires and Michelin Man's whereabouts, visit michelinman.com/guesswhere. Plus, enter to win a Via Michelin GPS.
Michelin, a better way forward.
Claim based on internal Michelin off-road evaluation versus select competition. No purchase necessary. See website for claim and promotion details.
You know, good things just make me happy. So when I can find those good things on sale, that makes me really happy. Like right now at my neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store, I can save $8 a gallon on Duration Home Interior, the ultimate in beauty and washability. I love it. It's just the best paint I've ever used. I can also save $8 a gallon on Duration Exterior. It covers in one coat and it's guaranteed for as long as I own my home. All this and amazing prices. Please, can you hear me smiling?
There's new hope for teens with schizophrenia. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato is that.
Schizophrenia usually appears in early adulthood. It's rare in teenagers, but does occur, and until now there has been no FDA-approved treatment for it in this age group. Risperdal, an antipsychotic, can now be used to treat schizophrenia in 13 to 17-year-olds and bipolar disorder in youths 10 to 17. The FDA's Dr. Thomas Loughran says risks include anxiety, weight gain, and diabetes.
Clinicians and the families have to weigh the risks and the benefits.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
If you don't feel like getting dressed up in Brattleboro, Vermont, you don't have to. The Board of Selectmen there decided to keep their town clothing optional. There had been a temporary ban on naked people. One selectman says it's about being tolerant of other people's choices. The 967 people who signed a petition to make people wear clothes in public would probably disagree. Karen Riegel, CBS News.
Hey, Dave. Mike here. Hey, this afternoon at around 2:27, the plumbing's going to back up with a lot of grayish, goopy stuff. It'll all overflow onto the tile floor and make a nice little safety hazard. Cool? Anyway, just thought you should know.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So Grainger's just added thousands of new plumbing products to help get you through whatever the day brings. We're adding products and removing problems. Valves, fittings, fixtures, toilets, water heaters, whatever it takes. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Grainger.com. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know, good things just make me happy. So when I can find those good things on sale, that makes me really happy. Like right now at my neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store, I can save $8 a gallon on Duration Home Interior, the ultimate in beauty and washability. I love it. It's just the best paint I've ever used. I can also save $8 a gallon on Duration Exterior. It covers in one coat and it's guaranteed for as long as I own my home. All this and amazing prices. Please, can you hear me smiling?
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
And anytime would be right now. We're launching the Free Speech Zone this hour with your calls and comments. Do you know the rules? You can call about any subject from any point of view, from anywhere within the sound of my voice, and we pay for the call. Isn't that sweet? I'm ready for your calls right now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. A little bit later this hour, we'll check in with Brent Badowski about his commentary about why the Democrats are getting it wrong on Iraq again. And you've heard great comments and information from Lou Cook on the Padilla case, Robert Scheer talking about the good news from Iraq. Ready, steady, go! Robert Perry gave us the lowdown on Donald Rumsfeld's departure from the Pentagon and much more. And now it's your turn to respond. I've got lines available, so join me now, 888-5-PETER-B. And before I go to your calls, just a couple of quick items. I want to thank Susan, a loyal listener in Santa Cruz. That's Susan P., who forwarded me an item. We've talked about Dennis Kucinich on this program and how I believe that he is the best candidate on the issues. And I'm not alone. I know many listeners to this program share that view. And when I hear Tom Hartman conduct his quickie polls of callers who just get to call up, say where they are and what their current favorite presidential contender is, Dennis Kucinich fares very well. But, and I'll just add this, that in Sunday's joint appearance of the candidates from Iowa that was hosted by George Stephanopoulos and broadcast on ABC, Kucinich made a joke out of the way he's been marginalized. And he responded to a question about faith, saying that he had been praying to God for the last 45 minutes that Stephanopoulos would actually call on him and let him speak. Well, this is very interesting because ABC News appears to have behind the scenes a deliberate campaign to hide Dennis Kucinich from the American people. Kucinich was deliberately, they think, cropped out of a politics page photo of the candidates. And on Monday afternoon this week, after the Democratic appearance in Iowa, after Kucinich took a commanding lead in ABC's own online poll of who won the Democratic debate, the survey was dropped from prominence on the website. ABC News has not officially reported the results of its online survey, and I'll tell you what, during the break I'll check it again, see if it's up there. After the results of that survey showed Kucinich winning handily, ABC News sometime on Monday afternoon replaced the original survey with a second one asked who is winning the Democratic debate. And during the early voting Monday afternoon and evening, Obama was in the lead. By sometime late Monday or early Tuesday, Kucinich regained the lead by a wide margin in the second survey. Now, sometime on Tuesday, ABC News apparently dropped the second survey from prominence or killed it entirely. And it says here, as every viewer of the nationally televised Sunday Presidential Forum is aware, Kucinich was not given an opportunity to answer a question from George Stephanopoulos until 28 minutes into the program. So, this is a very interesting pattern of behavior. And as I said, I'll examine the ABC News website for myself at the next break and see if we can find any of this information. But I think what it shows is that Kucinich supporters need to be louder than ever. And you need to go to the ABC News website, and if that survey is still up there, vote often, let the chads hang where they may. But it really does appear that there's a concerted effort to hide Dennis Kucinich and his views from the American people. And what exactly are they afraid of? Now, I have to admit that I read the Sunday New York Times, and in the Week in Review section where they put op-eds, I saw this article and I glanced at it and I said, oh, okay. And over the last few days, it has gained momentum. This was written by 7 service members in Iraq. They are non-officers, which means that they have the right to write an op-ed piece like this and express themselves. And it's a very powerful statement which counters the rosy news that we're hearing from Republicans and from some Democrats who have spent their summer vacation at our expense on Pentagon-controlled tours of Iraq. And if you haven't seen it, as Bob Scheer urged you earlier today, go on the web, and it's called The War as We Saw It. You can find it at Truth Out. You can find it at Truth Dig. I mean, it's linked at many websites. And I'd like you to read it for yourselves. I'm just going to lift a couple of paragraphs here. Sunnis, who have been underrepresented in the new Iraqi armed forces, now find themselves forming militias, sometimes with our support. Sunnis recognize that the best guarantee they may have against Shiite militias and Shiite-dominated government is to form their own armed bands. We arm them to aid in our fight against Al-Qaeda. However, while creating proxies is essential to winning a counterinsurgency, it appears that the proxies are loyal to the center that we claim to support. Armed Sunni tribes have indeed become effective surrogates, but the enduring question is where their loyalties would lie in our absence. The Iraqi government finds itself working at cross purposes with us on this issue because it's justifiably fearful that Sunni militias will turn on it should the Americans leave. In short, we operate in a bewildering context of determined enemies and questionable allies, one where the balance of forces on the ground remains entirely unclear. While we have the will and the resources to fight in this context, we are effectively hamstrung because realities on the ground require measures we will always refuse, namely the widespread use of lethal and brutal force. And their summary is, in the end, we need to recognize that our presence may have released Iraqis from the grip of a tyrant, but that it has also robbed them of their self-respect. They will soon realize that the best way to regain dignity is to call us what we are, an army of occupation, and force our withdrawal. Until that happens, it would be prudent for us to increasingly let Iraqis take center stage in all matters, to come up with a nuanced policy in which we assist them from the margins but let them resolve their differences as they see fit. This suggestion is not meant to be defeatist, but rather to highlight our pursuit of incompatible policies to absurd ends without recognizing the incongruities. This was written by grunts. It's really powerful stuff in great English, and the grammar is correct. It's better writing than a lot of the stuff you hear on network television these days. And it's deadly accurate. So what's going on? They're shooting the messengers. I referenced earlier that I saw, by mistake, a Dan Abrams segment on MSNBC last night, and he was only dealing with some quotes from this article as a way of painting these soldiers as disloyal and suggesting that they should be disciplined. Fortunately, Paul Rykoff, who's been on our program many times, was there and spoke up very powerfully on behalf of these service members. Now to your phone calls. I've got one line left at 888-5-PETER-B. Up first, it's Laird in Eureka. Hello, Laird, you're on the air.
Hi, Peter. I missed your guest earlier about Wampanoag. I'm sorry, I wanted to hear that. But that's all right because my attention span isn't that long anyway. So.
All right, Laird, do you have web access?
Yeah.
Okay. Go to firedoglake.com. And go to the search window and enter Padilla.
I'll do that.
And read Lou Cook's most recent dispatch, because when he talks about Padilla's mental condition and how it deteriorated while he was detained in the brig, it gives you a powerful sense of just how weak a defense he was able to mount.
Well, it strikes me he wasn't even able to assist in his defense, which I think is one of the legal benchmarks in our system, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's, like I said, my attention span is not. So I'd like to see you get a guest who can speak about the economy in real terms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all this business with the stock market and the Fed lowering the interest rates again to please the stock market recently. I mean, isn't that how we got in trouble? And I, maybe I don't understand, and I'd like to hear somebody. I go to TV and I hear these people, but they're all hawking stocks, and
yeah.
They're all talking gobbledygook as far as I can tell.
You mean like Jim Cramer? Huh? I mean, what kind of a nutcase is that guy?
And in fact, he just took a hit for being wrong about his bonus picks or whatever it is recently.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Anyway, that's my request, Peter.
Okay, I will work on that. And, Laird, I'm just going to concede that I hit the wall in Econ 101.
Okay.
And so, as we promise on this program, we will turn to people who know more than I do and see if we can get them to educate us a little.
Yeah, I'd like somebody who relates to me.
Uh-huh.
All right.
I understand it. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. Now to Margie in Oregon. Welcome, Margie. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. This is about Gonzo. I recently went to one of Congressman DeFazio's town hall meetings,
mm-hmm.
and he was stressing that impeachment of Bush or Cheney won't happen, but he feels that there is a good chance that we could succeed at impeaching Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm.
And DeFazio has signed on to a House resolution bill, and I have the number for those that want to write it down.
Mm-hmm.
It's House Resolution 589.
Okay.
And this is put forth by a Washington State Congressman,
McDermott?
Jay Inslee.
Oh, Inslee, okay.
And is he a Democrat? I don't know him.
I'll have to look it up. I think so.
But anyway, I thought that was very encouraging, because I think that would open up a whole can of worms.
Well, I don't support Mr. DeFazio's interpretation that it's fruitless to pursue impeachment against Bush and Cheney, but I will wholeheartedly support any effort to impeach Alberto Gonzalez. I do agree it would be an excellent icebreaker.
Yeah.
I consider it low-hanging fruit. He is extremely vulnerable, and the evidence is right out there for all of us to see. And so I think that is a wise course of action. I'd like to see that virus spread a little bit. And with your information here, we'll invite Mr. DeFazio back on the program and see if we can nudge him along a little bit there. I just looked up Jay Inslee. He is a Democrat in his sixth term from Washington State.
Good. Good.
Okay.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, Margie. I appreciate it. 888-5-PETER-B. Your call can be next. Join us here on the Free Speed Zone. That's 888-573-8372. Or drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com.
Of commuting an hour or more every day so you can make money for somebody else? Would you like to build a successful home-based business? Let Tanya Simmons show you how. Attend the CyberWise Opportunity Rally on Saturday, August 25th at 1:30 p.m. The CyberWise Opportunity Rally will be held at the Valley Center Bowl in Salinas. Call John Gaines at 831-229-2546 to reserve your place at the CyberWise Opportunity Rally. Call John Gaines now at 229-2546. That number again is 229-2546.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Did you know that a UFO was sighted over the Monterey Fairgrounds during a blues festival? Or that Pacific Grove police chased a UFO at a Sylmar? Join me, Bob Oliver, Saturday morning at 11 a.m. as I host Monterey UFO Sightings. Then, on August 25th, 26th, meet UFO researchers at the Bay Area UFOExpo.com in San Jose. See you there.
Well, hopefully no UFOs in the roadway at this point, but I can tell you this, we do have a problem in Salinas, northbound 101 after Sanborn. It is a crash on the right shoulder, two vehicles, so heads up there. Northbound and southbound 17 over the Santa Cruz Mountains, checking in with no problems at this point. By the way, Highway 1, southbound between Monterey and Carmel, looking good. No other real major stalls or accidents to report at this point. Going to let you know that we do have some construction. Southbound, northbound 1 at Emmeline, the off-ramp in Santa Cruz. It's closed until next summer. Salinas East Market Street between Monterey and Salinas Road. Expect delays, construction in the area. Detours in effect. This report brought to you by Toyota. Toyota, the cars more people rely on for fuel efficiency than any other nameplate. Test drive your favorite fuel-friendly model at your Toyota dealer today. I'm Mike. That's traffic on KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. We're in the Free Speech Zone taking your phone calls, 888-5-PETER-B. Two lines available if you'd like to jump in. And I'd like you to.
It's
January 1963, when Johnny came home with a gift for me.
And I'm taking a look at the website of abcnews.com. It was Susan in Santa Cruz who forwarded me an email from the Kucinich campaign, which enumerates their complaints about the way ABC has treated Kucinich. And this is a very annoying website. It's flashing and busy, and the pictures keep changing. And it's very interesting. If you go to the This Week page, I'm looking at how they have candid shots from the debate. And the shots keep changing, and so far I have not seen one of Dennis Kucinich. Now, contrary to what the Kucinich campaign asserted, there is still a poll up. It says, vote, who won the Dems debate? And you have to vote before you can see the results from all the other people have voted, who have voted. 42,000 people have responded to this. And in rough numbers, Dennis Kucinich is way out in the lead with about 14,000. Barack Obama, about 9,000. Hillary Clinton, third, with about 5,000. And the rest trail behind there. And there's even about 2,000 people who are waiting for Al Gore to get into the race. So the complaints from the Kucinich campaign have either been addressed to some extent. Oh, there's a picture of Dennis just by it's with all the other seven. You can barely see him, but they finally put up a shot that included Kucinich. At any rate, it's possible that this went back up after the Kucinich campaign complained. I don't know all of the details there, but it is interesting to see the extent to which they avoid offering any you know information or access you know on par with the other candidates, particularly considering that the voters at their own website say Kucinich is the leader on the issues. We go to John in Carmel Valley. Thanks for your call, John. You're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you and your listeners about a mistake, kind of, that I made the other day. I was going into a parking area near a grocery store that I frequent, and I noticed this van just covered, the whole rear end was covered with the most shrill and outrageous stuff. So I parked, and I decided before I went into the grocery store, I'd go over and stand there at the back of the van and read the whole schmear, and it was worse than I first thought. It was not only religious right stuff about nation going to hell and all these threats about hellfire, but it directly linked the war with God and religion in a positive way, because there were the yellow support the troops thing, and there was another one there I'd never seen before about, I don't remember the wording, but it was essentially that the only right approach was from a godly standpoint, was to support the war. And my mistake was I decided that I'd go on into the grocery store, and then hopefully that guy would still be there, and then I'd wait in my vehicle and then go talk to him when I saw him come out, because I assumed it was a he. Well, it was gone by the time I came out, and I remembered there was a more effective way to deal in this kind of instance, and that's to sit down and write a note and leave it there. That way you don't have to confront these kinds of wackos personally, and you can let them know in a way they weren't expecting what you think. And I didn't do that. But I recommend it, and I will do that the next time I run into that kind of thing, because I think that type of stuff, especially linking God with the greatest abomination of all, a war like this, any war is an abomination, but this one especially, it's just begging, screaming at you to take a stand. And I missed the mark. I thought I could get my time frequencies and have it all turn into a harmonic convergence, and it turned into a inharmonic non-convergence.
Well, the one thing I'd caution is that I'm not sure that, you know, if I saw that van that I'd bother knocking. And it's not because that van is rocking. It's just the people inside may be off their rockers, and they might be in there, oh, you know, cleaning their gun or something like that.
Well, that's
possible, you know. Every time, well, look at me. I'm an extremely frequent, from I'm sure some listeners' point of view, too frequent a caller. And I'm sure I've made, if not enemies among some leftists, at least some enemies among some of the right-wing listeners. And I have to remind myself, when you call a talk show, you better be willing to cast your bread upon the waters. You don't know who's out there listening. It's one of the biggest, maybe little gambles, and maybe a big gamble you can make. So you just have to take some risks. If you're going to be confrontational at all, you just have to be willing to take some risk.
Mm-hmm.
How much, you also have to weigh. I agree.
All right, John, I'm glad you came out of it unscathed, and I'm glad Michael Savage didn't crawl out of that van.
Okay.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's the free speech zone, and we're taking your phone calls.
People moving up. People moving in, why? Because of the color of the skin.
Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Both for me, and I'll set you free.
That's Electric Motown from 1970. It's called Ball of Confusion.
And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, diminution, obligation to my nation.
And these are confusing times. Many of us thought after the midterm elections last November that we were on a path to ending this miserable war and occupation in Iraq. And now it appears Democrats are once again confused and in disarray and ready to endorse another, you know, extension to the Bush administration. We talked with Robert Perry about his interpretation of Carl Levin's comments calling for the Iraqi parliament to oust Maliki. And what would that do? It would give Bush another Tom Friedman 6 months, at minimum. And the Democrats need to stop this equivocating and just come out and clearly say, Bush, you're done. It's over. You created a mess. We are not going to sit around and fund a greater mess, a compounded mess. But we're not hearing that kind of clarity. We're not hearing that kind of fighting words coming from the Democrats. 888-5-PETER-B, I'd like to hear from you, and I've got lines available with 30 minutes to go. You know what happens sometimes in the free speech zone? People all dial in the last 5 minutes, and we don't get to all your calls. So if you've got the itch, don't wait. Scratch it right now. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Jackie's next from Watsonville. Hello, Jackie.
Hi, Peter. Enjoy your show, as always.
Well, thank you.
I wanted to say, in addition to what you're saying, it's just one long stall tactic after another. But what I really called to say was I think it would be really interesting and beneficial for your listeners, me as well, to hear a really good, credible historian come on your show, because history does repeat itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people really realize the importance of history and how it does impinge on what's happening to us right now. And there are so many things that can be, that are happening now that can, you know, they're sort of echoing the past,
mm-hmm.
and they're happening again. And
well,
I'd really like to hear a good historian or perhaps a good social scientist come on and give us the lowdown. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's just another way of educating us, and I think we need to be educated.
Well, you make a great point. Just today when I was talking with Bob Perry about Ed Markey, the congressman who has demanded more information about this plan to use military spy satellites to monitor the activities of American citizens inside our borders.
Oh, my God.
This takes me back to the 1970s,
yeah.
when J. Edgar Hoover was running the FBI, when
Absolutely.
The counterintelligence program called COINTELPRO was running amok in this country,
yeah.
and they were out there, you know, staging provocative incidents and using federal law enforcement officials to provoke Black Panthers and others into committing crimes so that they could then prosecute them.
Yeah.
And we were referencing a little while ago this footage that Brian Urban, my assistant producer here, has been reviewing from the, it's not even an altercation, but the contact between demonstrators and police officers at the Quebec summit. And if you examine these photos carefully, and you know, this is observational at this point. I don't know that the Canadian police actually had undercover officers infiltrate the demonstrators. But at one point, as they are taking down a demonstrator, his boots, the bottom of his boots are visible right next to the boots of the cop who is trying to restrain him. And they both have the exact same little yellow logo in the middle of the sole of their boots.
That's
now,
interesting.
Maybe they just all shop at the same place, the protesters and the Mounties, you know?
You know,
but you look at that and you say, wait a minute, they're undercover except for their footwear.
Yeah, I saw the DVD on a very good movie, The Good Shepherd,
mm-hmm.
and it occurred to me when I saw it, I've seen it about three times, how that's what the whole Bush regime has used, counterintelligence. That's all it is, counterintelligence. And how they've used people as pawns, and it's mind-boggling when you really start, you know, delving into all that stuff. But I would like to hear a good historian, and I would like to hear a good social scientist, because really people have to look at things maybe in another way.
Mm-hmm.
Not always politically, but what happened back in Rome or what happened somewhere else, and how it absolutely comes right down to what is happening to us now. It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jackie, I think that's a great suggestion, and I will work on that.
Oh,
so,
thank you so much.
You know, give me a week or two, and we'll recruit a couple of historians. I mean, I see a number of angles that we can pursue. We were talking just the other day about the sorry history of nations that have tried to occupy Afghanistan.
Right.
That's worth probing. The history of Iraq and the British occupation, you know, that led to the original partitioning of that part of the world back in the 1920s.
Right.
And, of course, our own domestic history about, you know, the flirtations we've had with authoritarian presidencies and the tactics that we as American citizens have tolerated during those times.
Absolutely.
All right, Jackie.
Peter.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. 888-5-PETER-B. You could be next. Give us a call. 888-573-8372. Daniel in Santa Cruz. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Peter B. Jackie would probably be interested in Chalmers Johnson nemesis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would really put things in historical perspective.
Yeah, he came to mind as she was speaking, and he's been on our program twice, and he's quite available, I'll say. He's very receptive to invitations, so I will put him on the list and see if I can get him in the next week or two.
Hey, Peter, have you heard H.R. 508?
Only from a caller a few minutes ago who told me that Congressman DeFazio of Oregon has said that he supports the Gonzalez impeachment, and he appears to be tentative in his support for impeachment for Cheney and Bush.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think some other bill. This H.R. 508 would defund the war in Iraq.
Well, excuse me. I wrote it down, and I'm sorry. It's 589 is the Gonzalez impeachment, so that's
right.
My mistake.
H.R. 508 would stop the funding for the Iraq war, and it needs more sponsors. So I would encourage you and your listeners to investigate that. I don't have the web up in front of me now, so I can't tell you who wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a Vietnam vet, and a group of us veterans are putting our names to a resolution, and we're going to send it to our representative, telling them that we don't agree with the Veterans of Foreign Wars support of President Bush. We think that the war needs to stop, and this is the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, get this. I am online, and I happen to be at this ABC News website because I was looking up the hiding of Dennis Kucinich. So I entered in the search window here, H.R. 508, and I got a bunch of sports responses. Mariners Twins box score. I guess at ABC, H.R. can only mean home run.
Yeah, House Resolution 508. I think it's also HB 504.
Uh-huh. All right.
But
well, I'm pulling up a new window here. Let's go to Google's and HR 508. See what comes up there. To acquire the United States military disengagement from Iraq to provide United States assistance. Oh, I think this is the Barbara Lee bill.
Barbara Lee, yes, exactly.
That's what it sounds like to me.
So I would encourage your listeners to tell their assemblymen to sign on to that.
Well, this would be Congress members. This is a federal bill. So
Yes.
That's what that would be. Okay, well, Daniel, thanks for the tip. I appreciate it, and glad we can pass that along to our listeners. And I'm making notes here. Right next to Chalmers Johnson, it's time to talk to Barbara Lee again. Been too long. 888-5, Peter B., you're welcome to join in here in the free speech zone this hour. We go to Taz in Arcata. Hello, Taz, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Peter.
Do me a favor, turn that radio down. It'll just confuse you.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Is that better?
Yep.
During noontime, early afternoon, I had a chance to listen to Ari Fleischer on one of the channels on TV, and I was quite disgusted about what he had to say.
Well, just before you get to your point, do you know that Ari Fleischer is the front man for a new media campaign called Freedom's Watch?
Exactly.
They're going to spend $15 million on pro-Iraq war propaganda commercials that you'll find peppering your TV screen soon.
That what almost spoiled my lunch. I think it did. But my point is that I hear the terminology, we want to get the troops out, and I'm 110% for that. I wonder if it's possible to redefine what we actually mean by removing the troops, because a lot of people I talk to, they have this idealistic idea of, okay, if it goes through and the troops leave tomorrow, they will leave. Well, that's just not going to happen.
Right.
And I talk to these people and I say, listen, do you know we have 14 huge bases over there?
Mm-hmm.
We have the biggest American embassy that's being constructed as we speak.
Right.
I said, you need to understand that we're not going to take the troops out as you envisage taking the troops out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't hear it on the mainstream TV.
Well, it's also fair to say that in progressive media, that we are so hungry, might even use the word desperate, for any shred of hope in terms of changing course in Iraq and truly bringing our troops home, that I think we let some of our political leaders off easy when they offer kind of sweeping statements about how they'll bring the troops home. And I support Barack Obama over Hillary Clinton. I haven't made a final choice that he is my choice, but I know that I can't support Mrs. Clinton, and if Edwards and Obama truly are the other two front-runner choices, and again, I support Dennis Kucinich on the merits and on the policies, but I am a pragmatist. I recognize that money, name recognition, and media approval are essential elements to a winning campaign. So when I take a look at that picture, I certainly prefer Obama over Clinton, and I believe that some of the remarks that she has slapped him for, he was right, and she is wrong. At the same time, Obama is hedging a little bit. He gave a speech to the, I think it's the VFW, the veterans group, and he offers a kind of nuance, you know, that, gosh, our troops are doing a fabulous job there. It's just a hopeless mission, and there is no military solution. Well, he is edging up to the kind of remarks that Senator Clinton is making, where she is praising the surge now, saying that the only problem with it is that it was too late. Well, you know, that's the kind of thing that I cannot stomach. And I think that we have some progressive commentators who are giving Hillary a pass because they don't want to damage her or give ammo to the Republicans to use to damage her. And as I've openly discussed on this program, I don't believe that's the right way to go. I am honest with you and, you know, in my discussions that I can't support Senator Clinton and that I'm willing to say that here and now, even if she is the eventual nominee. And certainly, if she wins the nomination, I'm going to be hard-pressed to vote for any Republican. But I don't want my support taken for granted, and I don't want the media just to sweep her into the front-runner position. I want her positions to be carefully analyzed, and I say the same about Obama and Edwards and even Dennis Kucinich. We owe it to ourselves, and I owe it to you as a radio host to make sure that we ask the critical questions and don't just give somebody a pass because they've told us they want to get out of Iraq. We have to drill down and say, okay, Senator Obama, what do you actually mean by that? And will you leave a residual force there? And if so, what would their purpose be? And, you know, give us more detailed information. I think one of the biggest strengths and weaknesses simultaneously of Barack Obama is that he is vague. He offers these kind of, you know, very broad, sweeping pictures of how America would be under his presidency. But when you try to pin him down about specific policies and details, he often doesn't deliver. And so I'm looking for more substantive commentary from Obama, in particular about what he means about pulling U.S. troops out of Iraq, how many, how fast, and how many would remain. Thanks for a great comment, Taz. Good to hear from you today.
Okay. Could I just make one comment?
Well, why don't you hold till after the break, because I'm late for the break and people need to get their traffic.
Okay, good deal.
So you stand by. We'll come back to you after the break. 888-5, Peter B., if you want to join in. 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, Michael Yesk will be broadcasting live from Los Angeles. Michael Yesk is going Hollywood and taking Jim Ross with him. They'll be broadcasting live from the Los Angeles Angels Stadium. Rock Roller Real Estate, your number one source for all your real estate needs. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
All right, folks, time for the last traffic report of the night, so let's get to it. We've got a problem now working in Santa Clara County. It's Highway 152, Casa de Fruta, and folks, it's really not much of a big deal, but we're going to tell you about it. It is a broom, that's right, a broom in the left lane. Morgan Hill, northbound 101 after Dunn. A broken up couch, somebody dropped their couch, it's all broken up now, as you might imagine, and it is in the left lane. We're looking at Salinas Davis Road northbound at Lemos Avenue. A 4-5 vehicle fender bender. Everything's off to the right-hand shoulder, and our police unit's on scene there. And a quick reminder that we do have some construction in Salinas, East Market Street between Monterey and Salinas Road construction there. Expect delays. They do have detours in effect. The support brought to you by Expo Design Center. Save 10% off at Expo on your full kitchen or bath model now through September 9th.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and we continue here in the Free Speech Zone. Taz in Arcata had one more comment. Go ahead, Taz.
You have a great choice of music. But if you could come up with some sort of slogan or phrase or a couple of lines, because people are frustrated just hearing get the troops out.
Right.
I think it needs to come from people like yourself.
Part of the problem is that the Democrats are so divided that the most they can agree on is a change in policy. And you can't get the whole Democratic caucus in the House, for example, to agree on a specific withdrawal program. And that's one of the reasons why it's been so fuzzy and generalized. If you listen to the language of Nancy Pelosi, she repeatedly talks about a change of course because she believes that we ought to withdraw. And I understand that implicitly, but she can't say that because she's speaking for her entire membership and they don't all agree with her. And so that's fundamentally where it starts. But I appreciate your point, Taz, and I thank you for the call.
Well, thanks.
Now to Drew in Monterey. Hello, Drew. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. Thank you for taking my call. You know, something just struck me as odd when you said you couldn't stomach Hillary's opinion of the surge possibly being a good idea but happening too late. Why does that turn your stomach?
Because it gives ammunition to Bush and those who have pretended that this is going to make a substantive difference. You can pacify certain portions of Iraq short term, but you cannot win this struggle militarily. And to give the idea that a Democrat thinks that the surge is working is to give credit to an empty idea of the Bush administration. And again, it gives them more time to allow more people to die.
Yeah, but Peter, what if the surge is actually working? I mean, Iraq, what's going on there may take a good long time. I think in our quick fix society of instant gratification, we think that something can happen overnight, and this may take a good long time. You know, I think it was, I may be wrong here, but it was Jack Murtha, I believe, who was asked how it would affect the Democratic Party if the surge was found to be successful. And he said it would be very bad for the Democratic Party. I mean, why is...
Well, I'm telling you right here, if I felt the surge were working, I would say so. I think that's a load of crap, and it's a bunch of spin and PR that is being very carefully orchestrated by the Bush administration. So let me hang up on you. I'm going to put Brent Badowski on. I want you to listen to him because he wrote a piece today about the very same topic. Brent, welcome.
Oh, how you doing there?
Good to talk with you, and I want people to go to consortiumnews.com where they can read your entire piece. We've just got about 3 minutes here, but why do you think the Democrats are wrong on Iraq again?
Well, I think they take their little trips over there, and they come back, and they say, oh, the surge is working, which I do not believe represents so much what they learned over there. It's the fact that a lot of them don't want to take a stand and don't want to take a tough position. We've been through this before. The fact of the matter is, though, the surge cannot work. In effect, what you've got is you've got a situation where they're claiming credit for Anbar province, which had nothing to do with the surge, by the way. That could have happened
with
or without the surge.
Yeah.
But what really happened, Peter, is that they are giving, our people are giving arms to Sunni insurgents that were killing us just a month, 2 months, 3 months ago.
Right.
Now, all that's going to happen, if there is no political solution in Iraq, which I don't think there'll be because I think the government is inherently sectarian and inherently divided, is that all those weapons that we're giving people and money that we're giving people, the Sunni insurgents, will end up being used either to kill Americans or ultimately to kill Shiites in the sectarian war that's been going on for literally hundreds and hundreds of years. So in effect, if you give your enemy weapons, they'll stop firing while you're giving them weapons and while you're giving them money. But in the end, that's not going to be used for peace or reconciliation. It's going to be used for war.
Mm-hmm.
To think it works, you have to believe that the government of Iraq, Maliki, etc., will ultimately find a reconciliation. And the reason they haven't is this is a Shiite government friendly to Iran, allied with militia and death squads from the Shiite side. They not only took a vacation, which was also kind of a fig leaf, they don't want reconciliation because they don't believe in it.
Yeah.
And the latest thing is to say, well, that when they get back, they'll come up with some kind of an agreement. We can get rid of Maliki, they say. He's not the problem. He's just a symbol of the problem. The problem is in the inherent sectarian warfare that's been going on for hundreds of years. It won't change with a new government. There's a reason it hasn't happened yet. And so it's not going to happen now. That's just a fact of the matter.
And how do you react to Senator Clinton's remarks before the VFW, where she's saying that this is a good policy, it's just too late, and she implies that she believes the so-called surge is working?
Well, with all due respect, she was 5 years too late opposing the policy. I mean, you know, and no.
Amen.
That's not the problem. It's a bad policy and a bad war that shouldn't have been started. And the longer we do this, we'll be back in a year and in 2 years and in 3 years. And as we arm both sides in this war, Peter, we're going to constantly be told we need to stay forever or they'll be genocided any time that we leave.
And those weapons will be pointed at American occupying troops. And,
yeah, and I do not agree with her that giving aid to people that were killing us a month ago is a good policy no matter how long it takes.
I want people to read your entire piece. Go to consortiumnews.com. Brent, thanks for joining us.
Take care now.
We'll talk to you again soon. I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening. We're going to do this again tomorrow, and I'd be just delighted if you tune in and listen. Thank you very much. Go to peterbcollins.com.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Hey, this is Larry from Acme Coffee, and if, like me, you own a business and are tired of waiting through aggressive sales reps pushing you to advertise on mediocre network TV stations or stale radio broadcasters, contact KRXA 540 sales manager Larry Rathall at 394-5792. AM 540's committed listener base will help you grow your business. I know, because they're helping me grow mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Karen Regal. 30-3. Sounds like a football score, right? Not this time.
I still can't believe my eyes as I look at the scoreboard.
I know.
30-3, and the Rangers have only scored in four innings.
Eric Nadel and Victor Rojas calling the Rangers-Orioles game for the Texas Rangers Radio Network. No baseball team has racked up 30 runs in one game in 110 years. The Rangers have set a new American League record. It's not over for the Rangers and Orioles yet. This record-setting game is the first of a doubleheader. There will be one more hole drilled in the attempt to rescue six Utah miners, but mine owner Bob Murray says this sixth drill will be the last. Then he says the mine will be closed forever.
We are not going back into that mountain.
Those six miners have been trapped since their mine collapsed more than 2 weeks ago. Three rescuers died trying to make their way to the trapped men. Getting married is stressful enough. When you're a bride-to-be in Findlay, Ohio, your stress level may be as high as the water in your living room.
I'm doing a lot of calling around, making sure everything's still together, you know. And my fiancé actually just went to go get the matron of honor, like, from her house because she's flooded in, too.
In Ohio, flooding has made the water waist high, and Governor Ted Strickland has declared a state of emergency in 9 counties. All told, storms in the Midwest have killed 22 people. Maybe there's a reason your grandmother doesn't want you to sleep over.
On The Golden Girls, sex oozed from Blanche's definition of boyfriend.
Any man you bring to a fevered pitch of uncontrollable ecstasy.
In an unprecedented New England Journal of Medicine survey, more than half of adults between 57 and 75 say they've had sex in the past year.
Men and women who had a partner generally said that they were having sex 2 to 3 times a month or more.
Researcher Stacy Tesler-Lindau said, a remarkable 75% of seniors approached for this survey opened up about their habits. Most said their doctors won't discuss sex with them. Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Washington.
The nation's biggest mortgage lender, Countrywide Financial, is getting a $2 billion shot in the arm from Bank of America.
We would say that this investment reflects our confidence that that their business is sound, and it recognizes the importance of that company in providing home financing across the country.
Robert Stickler is a senior vice president with Bank of America. Tropical Storm Dean on the move through central Mexico.